gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, bleeds out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit. What is entertaining? Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What? Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hathuri, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up.
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue.
Issue?
Yeah, it's an issue.
It's an issue.
I'm not a problem. It's just an issue. I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is renewed. The power is reawakened. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Conti and Kenny Show. I am Joe Conti, host and co-host Kenny Michaels.
And I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not.
And you're not. What's up, man?
Not much, man.
Yeah, you feel a little better, buddy?
Yeah, I'm a little under weather. A little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know until 5:30, you bastard.
I tried to hold out, and I was just like, I didn't even want to move. And then you said, well, Skype in. I said, you know what? Show must go on.
This is Democracy Manifest. The show must go on.
The show must continue.
Get your hand off of my show prep.
I'm good. I'm here. I'm on Skype,
listen,
but I'm good.
Listen, we can go till 9 o'clock, and I would have no problem with that. Do a little bit of a shorter show. Because I want you to feel better, buddy. It's all about you.
Oh, and, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened. I dog sat this weekend. We did the show Friday night.
Holy shit, I saw the picture of the dog attacking you while you were on the toilet.
Yeah, I tried to post that. I couldn't figure out how to post it. But, I was trying to take a number deuce, and they decided to bust into the door, and I couldn't get up. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I'll post it as soon as I can. But one dog was sitting at my feet, staring at me. The other one's laying on the floor, and then there's just a big dumb boxer head popping through the crack.
The pictures are awesome. They're hilarious. I should be able to put them up because you sent them to me, so I should be able to put them up on your Facebook or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to do that.
Yeah, you gotta come over to the house one day. I'll show you how to do all that good stuff.
I tried to figure it out, but it wasn't happening. And so I'm at the house, and I was there for 2 days.
Yeah, your sister's.
At my sister's, mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that how allergic to dogs I was. Not, you know what I mean? And not that I'm allergic where I'm like, oh, stay away from me, but being
when you're
in
there
a house
for a while, right? Like you can go and hang out at somebody's house if they got cats or dogs,
doesn't
you know,
matter.
For a day or something like that. But then if you're going to be there for a bunch of days, it'll get to you.
Yeah, and I was inside the whole time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was completely inside. They're running all over me and running around and shit. And then, whatchamacallit? I got home yesterday, and I was just assed out. And then today I feel like a little dog balls. No pun intended. But I'm good. I'm good.
Sorry.
I'll be just fine. Yeah.
All right. Well, and...
And the great thing, too, is I've mentioned when I go over there, like, I have the bullshit cable. Because I was never home, so I'll eventually get it back. But she's got the awesome cable. So I saw Lincoln. I watched Stripes.
What, do you got a time machine?
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Right.
It it was just back-to-back movies.
You realize that all those movies that you mentioned are probably movies that are on TNT. So I don't know what you're making it like. Doing the great cable. I saw Stripes. Really? You saw Stripes? Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
But what do you got? Like Showtime, HBO, all
Encore,
that stuff?
Encore, Stars, Showtime, HBO, Cinemax, all the on-demand shit. You know what I mean?
Dude, and, right now, you telling everybody that is like telling everybody, dude, I just bought a car. And get this, it's got power windows and air conditioning. Dude, this is all people do is watch television now. Everything is about what show they're watching, how many programs they got going on. You've just been living like a pauper because you haven't been home, so it was no use for you to have all that stuff. Now, you know, you're enjoying the basically what everybody else has been enjoying for the last few years. Indulging in all of the quality programming on cable TV.
You're absolutely right. When I'm home, I'm a History Channel, Discovery Channel, Animal Planet, AMC, not AMC, A&E guy, and that's pretty much it. I'll just switch around through those.
Little,
you know what I mean?
Sports channels, blah blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Yeah, of course, Sports Center and this. Yeah. Sports Center will be a lot more because baseball's back.
Right,
but. But that's usually my thing. And then when I was on the road, it was too late to, like, flick around channels by the time I got in a hotel. So I'd put on if there was an HBO or something, but they always played the same shit or, you know. But this was, like, it would take me forever to figure out what to watch because I got to go through 300 channels of brilliance.
Yeah.
It's great.
I do the same thing where I'll start off at, like ESPN, and then go up from there, where I'll get like TNT or FX and AMC, right? I get
right,
all those,
right.
A&E and all that kind of stuff, up to Comedy Central. Then I'll go, what I've been watching lately a lot of is Antenna TV. Have you been watching Antenna?
Absolutely.
Antenna,
yes.
TV, dude, I've been watching so many Sanford and Sons. Dude, I saw an episode of Sanford and Son where, Aunt Esther?
Of course.
Dude, Aunt Esther, she was great. LaWanda Page. She was she was a comic. Do you know who her sister is? Her sister is the one that plays the nurse that would play his girlfriend occasionally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're sisters. But there was an episode where...
I know she was a dirty comic.
Yeah,
She would... You know, Red Fox was a dirty comedian. She would travel around with him.
Yeah.
But she would pop up on those Dean Martin celebrity roasts and
yep.
everything all the
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I saw an episode. Dude, I'm telling you, the writing on that. Dude, there was an episode the other day where I watched, written by Richard Pryor and Paul Mooney. That's who
there
wrote the episode.
That's all great.
Right? Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, Paul Mooney. Because it's weird.
because it's a mostly, you know, it's a black show, and it's all Jews who usually write, you know, who do most of the writing. You know,
it is. Yeah, when you read the credits, credits, even always, like Good Times was written by Jews.
Yeah, it's always these Jewish guys because they're, you know, they're funny people.
Irving Silverstein just wrote "That's My Mama."
But dude, this one episode where some dude came back. There was one of Fred's old friends, and he claimed that Lamont was his son. And he hadn't said anything to Lamont yet, and they brought in Aunt Esther to talk to him. And when, and she was, and you know, Fred's like, "Listen, this guy's got something to say." And she's like, "You know, whatever." And the guy goes, "I'm Lamont's father." Now, you know, Aunt Esther, she's his sister-in-law. So basically, he's saying, "Hey, I banged your sister." And dude, he goes, "I'm Lamont's father." And Aunt Esther goes, "Would you say nigga?" And I fucking,
yeah.
I almost spit out my water, dude. It was awesome. Like, she got right in his face, man. And it was just such great writing, man. It was real. It was funny. Oh, my God. Just to sit there and listen to her, like, have this real, visceral emotion come out. Because you said something about my sister, and she's like, "What'd you say, nigga?" I mean, it was just awesome. I mean, not just because she said that, but it's all about that realism, the real language, and not worrying about offending people, because it wasn't about trying to offend. See, that's the difference.
Right.
If it's not about trying to offend, it's about trying to make people laugh through language that may be a little coarse. It may be a little rough. Oh, it was just so great, dude, and I've been watching
and
so much of that.
Just a few short years later, you instead of that line, you get, "What you talking about, Willis?" How times change.
But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that was different strokes. I mean, it was a different type of a comedy. But
I've mentioned this before, and we have it in some of the promos. There's one, you know, she goes to Aunt Esther, "You so ugly. I can
stick your face in dough and make gorilla cookies."
It's one of the greatest lines. One of the greatest lines that ever made me laugh out loud when I first heard it.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, "I can stick your face in water and make ugly sickles."
Ugly sickles. Yeah, it's so many fantastic lines, dude.
There's also another channel that's called This. Is another
this?
One that plays this T H I S.
I think I saw that, but I'm not sure.
It's almost like an antenna TV. It's all 70s and 60s and 70s shows. You know what I mean? It's all stuff where you're like, "Wow, I haven't seen that in a long time." It's like that one. This is more movies. You'll get those old, mid 70s movies on there, but still pretty good. Still pretty good.
No, hey, right. If I'm just putting the phone, are you in the more like radio chat?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, cool. If you want to put the phone number in there, the phone number is 240-442-2635. That translates 240-HI-CNK. And of course, we're just getting started. If you're listening to us live, you can listen to the podcast and also 240-442.
442-2635,
and you can also get in touch with us through Skype at NPN Studios. If you want to go into the chat rooms, go to morelikeradio.com/live or go to contiandkenny.com/listen now, or just download the free TuneIn app and search More Like Radio, and you can go on that channel and listen to us live, like every Monday night. Went down the wrong pipe, 7 to 10. And, of course, follow us on Facebook. And
that's what baby Twitter. Jessica said.
yeah. So I'm glad we got to at least do, somewhat of a show. I mean, we've done this enough where we're getting pretty good at the old Skype-a-roo.
Yeah, it's not going to be nearly as frequent as it used to be. Now it's just out of necessity.
Before, Kenny was on the road. Now Kenny's a hypochondriac, so now it'll just be every couple of weeks. And, I got a lump on my leg. I got to go check it out. So, but yeah, if you want to call in, you can call in or just go into the chat.
Chat room's pretty quiet right now.
Yeah, well, you know why, dude? I just don't look. I respect wrestling in a sense of what these wrestlers do.
Oh, is that why?
Dude, there's like this big fucking WWE thing going on tonight. And I just don't get it. I get what they do. I think they're ridiculous athletes, you know? I mean, we got friends, you know? You know, Pete, our friend, is a wrestler. He's also an actor. I also met this guy named...
Balls Mahoney.
No, not Balls Mahoney. some guy named... I think it's Anderson. Andy... I forgot his name. Really cool dude. I would definitely want to get him on the show. He, like, was pretty well known, I think, in, like, the mid-90s, and he's still, like, doing the wrestling thing. And
One of the best things that ever happened to me, I was in McDonough's. I went down to Otto and George's. And we're going to go meet JC, our wrestler, who's called the Outpatient, and we're going to meet Balls Mahoney there. So my mother calls me, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm having lunch with an X-rated ventriloquist, the Outpatient, and Balls Mahoney. And I wasn't lying.
That's a great start to a short story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't lying, you know what I mean? But I was like, I have to mention this.
It's awesome.
Balls Mahoney. Yeah. Balls Mahoney, he has, his forehead is a disaster.
Is it? What do you mean?
Oh, man, from cutting himself all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Jesus is back when he's getting whipped.
Oh.
Passion of Christ.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, excuse me.
I don't remember what he looks like. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, and he had a kid in a stroller with his wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was really a surreal lunch. It was a really, really weird chicken sandwich.
That has to be a definite one that you remember.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My mother was like, what? I'm like, no, I'm not lying. It's true. Balls Mahoney, Outpatient, dirty ventriloquist, and chicken sandwich. We're all having chicken.
We're enjoying the chicken.
But I guess that's why that makes sense, because... all the guys that are usually in the chat room are all wrestling.
There's some sort of big thing going on tonight. I don't know. I just don't get it. Josie in the chat is like, what? There's a WWE thing tonight? I'm out of here, fuckers. Bastard.
Oh, really?
Nah, he's just messing around. I don't think Josie's in. I mean, look, I'm not even going to smash wrestling itself. It's like how I don't like hockey, but I think the sport stinks, but I think they're the most ridiculous athletes. I think hockey players are just amazing. I think it's amazing what they do, what they can do on ice. I just don't like the sport. And I same thing with wrestling. Like I appreciate all the heart, and wrestling is a lot like comedy in the sense where there is this years and years of a grind, and everybody thinks that you're just, you know, you go around for, you know, You do 7 or 8 matches, and some guy, some big fat guy with a cigar in the back, is like, "That's the guy I want." You know, looks like Boss Hogg from Dukes of Hazzard, and then you become a superstar. And they think the same thing with comedy, that you go into New York and one person's like, "That's the guy," and you get a TV show, and you're George Lopez. And that's not how it works. It's years and years of a grind, and these guys travel all around the country, and also they get to share a lot of the same stages of some big names, kind of like what we do, you know, where we, you know, where people are like, oh my God, you're friends with Otto and George, and you're friends with Rich Voss, and you've worked with, a lot of these, you know, these guys. Like, I got some pretty cool names in my phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got Carl LeBove, and if you don't know Carl LeBove, he was like, he's a great comic. He was like one of Sam Kinison's, him and Sam Kinison came up in the ranks together. And, you know, so you meet a lot of those guys because you share that same stage.
I got Al Sharpton's number.
Well, that's a different story.
In the chat room, Western Echo just popped in. And
fuck him.
It looks like Joe Coletta is naked getting out of a bathtub.
Oh, it's the fucking greatest. Oh, it's the greatest video ever.
Is that Coletta? Is that really
Coletta? Coletta was in a... It's a video. If you go to Cousin Joe on Facebook... And check out this video. It's him in a bathtub because now he's got a girlfriend. Joe has a girlfriend, and now the thing is, he's the video is called Joe Coletta or Cousin Joe
something he does concerns, addresses concerns. And the concerns were, is the show not going to be funny anymore because he's in a real relationship? And is it going to lose its luster? And he's in a bathtub playing with like a little ducky. And he's talking to the, you know, to the camera for like a minute. And then he gets up with his dick out. And he gets up to like, you know, jump out of the bathtub to maybe run after the cameraman.
He plants one left foot out of the tub and he loses it.
Yeah, right in the mush. He falls right flat on his face. And that was not meant to happen. And it ends up being the funniest part of the video.
It's hilarious.
It's so funny. Is it in the More Like Radio chat?
Yeah, it's in Western Echo. Put it in, and then he posted right after that. I mean, good evening, gentlemen.
Go to morelikeradio.com/live, and you can go in there, and you can check out the video. It's probably in a... Well, you could probably just click on it, but really,
he's
really
he's just
funny.
Got it in like a four-second loop.
Oh, of him falling?
Yeah, like a vine.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
That's Rem in my night right there. That's hilarious.
It's really great, man. I saw
it's totally natural. You can tell he didn't mean to do it.
No.
His left foot, wet left foot, he just loses it.
I think he meant to jump out of the tub and then go after the camera person as the gag. Because he was being very funny in the tub. I don't think I've ever said that before. That somebody's being very funny in the tub. And then, boom, right in the mush. Fantastic. So.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? First thing I want to just let everybody know, thank you for everybody who came out Friday night to the benefit for my sister-in-law, whatever you want to call her, my wonderful girlfriend, her sister, who they lost her house and everything to a fire. We had a nice showing for the benefit in Pompton Lakes at the Angry Rhino or the Backwards Rhino Theater with me, you, Bob Levy, and special guest Anthony Ennis. And it was a lot of fun. Great crowd. And I got to say, Kenny Michaels went first and knocked it out of the park. And I even called Kenny that night or the next day and left him a message apologizing because I was waiting for two guys to come that went to the down the street because they wanted to come see me and they weren't back yet. And I was like, oh, Kenny, go first. And, you know, it was kind of a dick move because Kenny hasn't, you know, he's only been on stage a couple times in the last couple of years, like 2 years. And I'm like, you know, I'm sitting to myself going, you're a real selfish douche. You let Kenny go and fucking take the, take the bullet. And instead of just, you know, because I've been, you know, steadily, you know, performing and doing my stuff. And but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Kenny went up there.
I had no problem going for. I didn't even think of like, oh shit, I wish I could go third. I didn't even think about it. I was like, we're here. I was kind of not psyching myself up for it.
Right.
But funny.
Thank you.
But I was ready to go. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, let's do this. I felt confident.
Okay.
And like I said, you know, it's the performing is not is I'm totally comfortable being on stage. I just want new material. I don't want to go back to my old stuff. You know what I mean? That's
well,
like the main...
it's a transition, and you're working... I mean, and I got to say, the stuff that you did, it wasn't your old stuff. It was your old, newer stuff. It was
exactly.
It was stuff that you were... Like, it was more of the newer stuff you were doing when you kind of bowed out when you started, you know, going on the road a lot. And it was funny, dude. They were just really eating it up. And I was sitting there going, you don't need nothing. You don't need a cushion or anything. Because my sister-in-law's son, he went up and kind of introduced everybody. And because he took a comedy class a bunch of years ago and did, like, stand-up once or a couple times. So he went up there to, like, kind of do a couple minutes and then bring everybody up. And he got nervous and he was just like, I want to thank you, everybody, for coming. And... let's give it up for Kenny Michaels. And then Kenny went up there and leveled him a little bit for giving him the shitty friggin' intro.
As soon as I got the microphone, I was like, that's a fucking great introduction.
Yeah.
I did the impression, this is just thanks for coming. Kenny Michaels. And he's like, thanks, dude.
Yeah. But it worked out great. We had a such a great turnout. And I was very, very happy. And why is it only coming out of one side here?
Hello. Hello. Sorry. It's only seems to be coming out of one end, but that's all right.
Take some X-Lax. You'll be too scared to cough.
You'll be too scared to cough. But it was just great. And Levy murdered. Everybody did a really good job. And the audience, and it was packed, dude. I was surprised. The theater only holds like 200 people, and we were thinking, if we get 100 people in there, that'll be great. And there had to be over 150 people in there. There wasn't a lot of seats empty.
No, it went all the way up to the last couple of rows, because it's a really cool. It's like a community theater in downtown Pompton Lakes, and it's a cool. It seems very old, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's got nostalgic. But it's just like one of those community theaters.
Yeah,
and it's always cool playing a theater, even if it's a small one.
Yep.
It's just a different vibe, and whatchamacallit, and. It was cool. It was jammed. Everybody was having a good time.
Everybody did. And we do appreciate it. So I want to thank anybody who either donated or came down and joined the festivities. It was a great night, and I want to thank you.
Oh, yeah. And whatchamacallit? Just a little side note.
Yes.
I go down after we leave. After we leave the show, I got to go all the way down to South Plainfield, and I got to let the dogs out. They're going to shit, and I don't want to clean up shit. So I left from the show and went all the way down. I stopped at, like, I don't know, a Quick Check or something and just got a sandwich. I hadn't eaten dinner. You know what I mean? Ideally, we would have went out afterwards or something, but I had to shoot down. So I go there. I go, and I get my sandwich, nice, Italian sub or whatever. I got... got a drink. I got it on a table. I got a movie on. I even forget what movie it was. Probably Lincoln or something cool. I go into the bathroom because I as soon as I eat, I usually have to take a shit. It's just my natural biological thing.
Yeah, me too. I'm very regular. I'm
yeah, like exactly,
my grandfather.
Exactly.
My grandfather would eat and then get up and go into the outhouse and drop trout.
But I hadn't really eaten since like early in the morning. You know what I mean? So I take a couple of bites. I have ate about half the sandwich. I come out of the bathroom, and it's the scene from fucking A Christmas Story with the dogs ripping through the turkey. Well, there's my napkins on the floor. There's lettuce all over the place. They completely destroyed the rest of my fucking sandwich. These fucking mongrels. It was gone. It was gone. So I had almonds and pretzel rods after that for the rest of my dinner.
Oh.
Yeah. They were fine. They were sitting there laying on a couch. As soon as I went into the bathroom, it was fucking go time. They're like, he's gone. You get his sandwich.
It's like they planned this out. They knew.
Yeah, it was like they absolutely knew. It was a fucking caper. They knew exactly what they were doing.
It was a caper.
Yeah. Well, they smelt that shit walking in. They're like,
dude, he's
got a sandwich.
I didn't realize you had, those in the sandwiches. I didn't know they made that. Capers.
Yeah. No, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were just hanging out all cool. I'm like, oh, they're laying on a couch watching TV with me. I'm at the dining room table. I can see through the living room watching the tube. I get up, fucking mayhem in the kitchen.
Wow.
It's over my sandwich.
Wow.
I hope they get the shits from the tomatoes.
I'm sure they do. And then they bothered you, like we said earlier, when you went to the bathroom. They busted on your door when you're trying to drop a deuce. It's unbelievable.
And you can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it.
What's the deal with
what's
the dog?
What's the deal with dog and duty?
They break in. You can't do anything about it. You can't just get up and wipe and say, get out of here. You have to sit there and watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was awful, man. It was awful. You can't because you're mid-turd. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they fucking jailbreak into the shit house. And you just got to sit there and go, fucking dogs.
It's like, what'd you say? You're in mid-turd?
Yeah.
It's like Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt playing turd.
That wasn't that bad.
I just didn't know how to do Mike Schmidt without just saying Mike shit.
Yeah,
and it really
and
wouldn't have made
it
any
into
sense.
Playing turd.
Playing turd.
Fucking nice way to pull that one out.
Sorry, I tried.
Mike, you know, Schmidt playing turd.
Turd.
Nice, nice improv skills, pal.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. man, so
if he was a second baseman, that would have tanked.
yeah, really wouldn't have made any sense.
No.
So, hey, did you watch any of the? You know what? I'm gonna say it right now.
You
my
don't
least,
give a shit.
My least favorite thing about social media.
Well, Western Echo just put in Kenny Feld.
Kenny what?
What's the deal?
Kenny Feld.
Kenny Feld.
Ken Feld. I like that.
Yeah.
Kenny Michaels Feld. My least favorite thing about social media, mostly Facebook and Twitter, is during these frigging award ceremonies, because everything stops and it just becomes a barrage of either not giving a shit about it or trying to be funny or arguing for or against of who should have won this award. I turn off. I knew it last night. What was it, around 7 o'clock? I just turned it off and I waited, and I did a bunch of stuff anyway when I went to the city and did a spot. So when I got back, pretty quick. I was like, I'm not even gonna not even gonna look at Twitter, because it's just gonna be all about these stupid award shows, and everybody thinks they're hilarious. It's like, all right, we get it. You made fun of John Travolta's hair, and this one is precious, and that one's this, and this one's fat. It's like, who gives a shit? And it just becomes the same, basically the same content over and over again, but just everybody's dumb fucking view. And
I actually jumped on Twitter just to check it out for that very reason. Because I was home,
so
monotonous, and I figured,
man.
I was like, let me watch it. You know, I'll check it out because we'll talk about it on the show for a little bit. That's, and you're it. Like, we'll talk about it. You watch it. We'll talk about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Because I just refuse. I just won't.
Yeah. So, I, you know, though, like that, the, like I said,
I saw
Oscars,
little highlights today. Yeah, that was it.
What's that?
I saw little highlights today just to,
yeah,
you know.
I think that the best part of – there was nothing crazy. The best part of the whole show – well, I'll get back to that in a second. But I went on Twitter, and it really is just that same shit. And what it is, it depends on how many people you follow, is the comments are just as if you're sitting in the room with them. Like, wow, she looks really good, or she looks awful. Or, you know, doesn't Jenny something or other look awful?
Right.
You know, some of them were trying to be funny, but other things it was just like commenting.
Yeah.
On, and when you read them, you couldn't even keep up.
Yeah.
There's no way you could read every, especially if you follow a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, but I specifically went on there just to check out how awful it would be, and you're exactly 100% right.
It's it's like if you're driving and you're used to driving on a road that's like a small, you know, highway where, you know, it'll go 50, 55, and, you know, it doesn't really that packed. And then all of a sudden, you get thrown on, like, the Autobahn, and everybody's doing 130. And you're like, I don't even want to go on. I can't even get on this thing. And it's so bad because it's so fast. And if you are just looking for that one, like, just real interesting or funny, it's, like, impossible to find. It's, you know what? I just go, as Joe Z said, he goes, Joe, you got to join me. Go dark. I am totally off the grid internet-wise. I wish I could. I don't want to sound like a grumpy old man because I do love the internet. I think it's great. I'm becoming addicted to online poker now. But so far, but so far, money-wise, I've been okay. But I'm really finding myself, I'm like going, okay. Now it's like almost 2 days where I haven't played. I'm like, okay.
Are you doing the real poker, the real money?
Real money, yeah. But it's I'm only using, like, I keep hovering between $25 and $50 because I'm doing very small stakes, But anyway, right. Point is that I just, when that happens, you just basically, it's almost like where on the days where everybody has their air conditioning on, you know shit's going to blow. So either just stay home or go in your car and take the ride, because it just, dude, it gets obnoxious. Because it's all in between that and snow, and now today, because we were supposed to have a big storm in New York, and then there wasn't. It's like, it's either snow, Oscars, oh my God, we're going to have snow, and then complaining that we didn't get snow, that they called for snow. I'm like, I'm done. Like, it's really, this winter has really ruined, especially Facebook, where it's just a bunch of babies. Just have, and it just goes to show what, Kenny, we have always said, most people are boring. Most people don't have any, and listen, you can be important to your family and your close friends, but on a grand scale, you don't mean shit when it comes to what your opinions matter. Our opinion does matter, because we are interesting and we are funny and we take it and try to put it out there. But the point is that when you get bombarded with just hundreds and thousands of people who have nothing interesting to say all at once, that's when it gets bad. Because you know what? You're always going to have that. And when you're, you know, on your regular road, just kind of doing 45, 50, there's one shithead here, there's one shithead there. But, you know, you're just cruising. And you're going through your Facebook and your Twitter, and you're like, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Blah, 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 blah. But when it becomes just a bombardment of just nonsense and just boring fucking people.
Yeah.
Then that's when I turned it off last night. I could not deal with it. Turned it off.
Yeah, it was relentless. It was relentless. The best part, I watched the whole thing, and there was, you know, I skipped, a couple of parts, you know what I mean?
Like right.
The technical bullshit and all that stuff. I had it kind of on the background. I was, like, checking email and whatnot. And there was no surprises. The people who were supposed to win won, you know what I mean, basically. But the funniest part of the show, and Ellen is taking a little – one of the worst parts of the show, she decided to get pizza for everybody in the front row. So they actually had whatchamacallit? A real pizza dude delivered pizzas to the Staples Center, and was a real guy on stage. You know what I mean? That I found out. It was like a real pizza dude. But
right,
she
but
was
it was
handing
all
up
planned.
Pizzas, trying,
it was all planned.
She was trying to be funny, and then she was trying to get tips for the pizza guy, and nobody had cash on them. you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
They're all in suits and little handbags and shit. So that kind of went flat. But I thought the funniest thing, but she's getting flack for it, was Liza Minnelli was there. And she's like, and Ellen DeGeneres is like, hey, it's the one of the greatest Liza Minnelli impersonators I've ever seen. This is brilliant. Nice work, sir.
Oh, and yeah, that's right. I heard about that. Yeah,
yeah, and it was funny.
Some,
you know,
morning,
I mean,
show, some guy was like, I thought that was a little mean. It's, yeah, like, really? You're a guy? And a joke, and you said that was a little mean, but everything else was good? Pansy. Yeah, I heard she did a good job, and, you know, and they make it way too long. What is it, 3.5 hours?
They went way over on this one. This one was a bad one. They went, they were on until after, almost like midnight, until after midnight.
And what time does things start?
7 o'clock.
Really?
Something like that,
5 hours, 4.5 hours, for basically, what, 6 or 7 real important, or not real important, excuse me, what people really want to, you know, 6 or 7 awards, like, you know, best movie, best actor, best actress,
yeah, and
supporting.
And you know what I've noticed too? I mean, they've pretty much always done it, but now it's like a staple and it's getting worse. Mm. Is, you know, when the president does the State of the Union speech and he says something, you know, about taxes, or, you know, or no more taxes or something like that, and the whole place stands up and applauds.
Right.
There's a lot of that shit going on now.
Oh,
someone
okay.
to mention something, like either a song, which is okay if someone knocks, you know, like it was the 75th anniversary of Wizard of Oz. So Pink sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, great version of it. Not, you know, took blew the roof off the house, and everybody gave her a standing ovation. But there was a lot of, you know, people just saying shit, and they would get a standing ovation for nothing. Like, and one of the biggest suckfest moments is they did them in memoriam. You know, that's my favorite part, is to see who died.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they do it probably 3/4 of the way through.
Did they do Did they do Hal Ramis?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because he just died, so I didn't know if they wait till next year to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, they did. They had him pretty much in the middle, in the beginning, and then the last one was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, okay.
They had him last, but after that, Bette Midler comes out and sings "Wing Beneath My Wings." Wind Beneath My Wings. Like, how many people have not heard her sing that song? And then she didn't do the album version. She, like, jazzed it up a little bit. You
oh,
know what
really?
I mean? Yeah, and she got a fucking standing ovation. And you could just see the look on her face. It was that total give me praise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I deserve the praise, standing ovation. Oh, special moment. How many times are you going to fucking sing that song already? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know what's coming. There's nothing exciting.
Yeah, just
how about
do
writing
it
a new tune, Beaches?
Beaches? I don't know, man. Just if they could, like, just do it where.
Hold on, Western Echo. It was 8:30 technically. 7 o'clock is when the red carpet started. But I'm glad to know you watched, Kenny. Yeah, it was off.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? But. It's just, it's to a point where I don't know what's worse, the fanfare or the anti-fanfare of the shit. You know, whether it's, you know, hey, I don't care about it. Yeah, you know what? If you don't care about it, why would you even, I don't know. I guess I understand letting people know, but dude, I didn't give two shits about it. You know what I did? I did nothing because I didn't care. I didn't care. It's like, you know what it is? It's like getting dumped by somebody, and then you got to go up to go, by the way, yeah, I'm over you. Yeah, do you hear me? I'm over you. If you're really over somebody, you don't give a shit anymore to even let them know. Hey, by the way, I want to let them know that I'm with somebody. It's like, dude, you know what I mean? It's like, who cares?
Yeah, like I've said, I watched the Grammys or like maybe American Music Awards or something like that just to see the music. Because they're pairing up a lot of people. We've talked about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seeing Stevie Wonder play again and all this kind of stuff. It's cool, you know? I watched the thing with the Beatles. You know, the anniversary of the Beatles. Shit like that I'll watch. The Oscars I'll watch just because it's the Oscars. I'll flip back and forth. I wasn't doing anything. There was really nothing else on. If there was something else on, Yankee game, beat it. I'm watching a fucking Yankee game,
and I'm not even smashing people for watching it. It's like, hey, if you're into that, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
there
cool.
Was actually,
I mean, it was amazing because that's all. Oh, okay. They said it started at 8:30. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what.
And it was over around 12. Joe Z in the chat said Bill Murray presented an award and gave a nice shout out to Ramis.
Because exactly.
I didn't know that Bill Murray and Ramis their relationship went. Down the toilet after the making of Groundhog Day, and they never really kind of chummed up again. They were never really friends after that.
That's a shame. They did a lot of good work.
Yeah, that was the last that they worked together.
Yeah, Meatballs, Ghostbusters,
Caddyshack,
Stripes, Caddyshack, Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
that's a shame.
That new movie Stripes you've gotten to watch on the cable.
Yeah, a new release.
But it's just the fact that I just found it amazing on how many people were like this, you know, like smashing it. And it's like, then why are you watching it? Listen, if you do a podcast or you do something where you entertain people and you got to watch it, because, you know, I get it.
Right.
But if you don't want to watch it, don't fucking watch it.
I saw a TV show. And this will make you sick to your stomach.
Oh, please, I was at my mother's the other day. I'll tell you. Go ahead.
It was. They have the, you know, the Oscar parties. You know what I mean? Where
you told me this. I don't think I've ever seen this, and I'm glad because I would just
no. They have a ballot, and you have to pick out your ballot, almost like a real dude would do, like, you know,
a fantasy football.
No. Almost like your brackets for March Madness for basketball.
Okay, yeah.
But it's for movies, and they're all sitting there, and this one guy, he's sitting there. He's like, "Well, this I've been coming to this party for 15 years, and the couple that used to run it moved to the suburbs to have children, and I inherited it." And they're all sitting there, and they're all serious, and they're all talking about movies, and you're like, "It's a fucking movie." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny too. My sister made a good point last night. Well, she's watching this suck fest go on too, and she goes, "You guys are pretending. Everything is pretend. You're not changing the fucking world. You know? Why are you making yourself out to be so important? You're entertaining. Tap dancing.
I understand what she's saying, but." We hold those people in high regard.
Oh, sure.
We just do. And it's not, I don't think it's really their fault because that's what they get. And they get the accolades and, oh my God, you know, like, you know, and, you know, what you've done, you entertaining has changed our lives. And, you know, people really feel like that. But I understand what you're saying. It's like, you know, you didn't come up with a cure for cancer.
Yeah,
you
know, they're a bunch of fucking simpletons.
Yeah, you know, they're actors. You know, it's you know, the only cool thing is when you see the writers get their due. You know, like that's, you know, definitely cool when you see the writers really getting their due because, you know, I find writers to be amazing. You know, like whether it's sitcoms or, you know, or TV, you know, TV shows, dramas. I mean, you know, I mean, I've always said this. You can, this is a little bit of a smash at an actor, but it you know, like they, you know, acting is all relative to what they're doing because I don't think you've ever heard anybody utter these words. You know what? That movie was terrible, but the acting was phenomenal. It's like, look, if you're in a great show with great writing, you're more than likely going to be hailed very good at what you're doing. You know what I mean? It's like, if it wasn't, listen, Breaking Bad, as great as all those actors were, the number one reason why they were all so good is because the writing was ridiculous. The writing was great. If the writing stunk, it wasn't going to be like, they were awesome.
They gotta have the material to perform.
Exactly. And it makes them better. So when writers do get their accolade, it's great because, you know, they deserve it. I think, I'm not saying above actors, but they should be side by side because every great actor should thank a great writer. Sure. You know, and then you have directors.
I'm right there with you. But, you know, I agree 100%.
Like I said, I don't mind the whole thing. It's just, after a while, you're just like, look, people, either like it and watch it or don't. But just don't involve me. Get out of my Twitter feed. Get out of my Facebook fucking feed. You know? Let me see. Joe Z, I love the Oscars. I've seen all 86 films that have won Best Picture, and I see every film that gets nominated. That being said, the smoke they blow up each other's ass gets old real quick.
Listen. If Joe Z actually is a movie,
sounds like he's a movie aficionado.
Aficionado. This is democracy, aficionado. Get your hands off my penis! Stop pressing pause. If he really is a movie aficionado, then that's fine. I'm totally behind it 100% because it is an art form. It is like reading a book. If you really are into film and how it's made, I'm 100% behind that. That is no problem. I have nothing wrong with that. I have the problem with these cunts with their glasses of wine thinking that anything that they have to say, their opinion has any bearing on anything else. You know what I mean?
Right.
They probably haven't seen fucking a third of all of the Academy Award winners. You know what I mean? Like Joe had, you know. If it won an Academy Award, go watch it. You're an aficionado. if you, excuse me, if you really are into it that way. But if you're just some cunt who wants some some trail mix and a glass of wine at some other cunt's house, who gives a shit? Stupid party.
Holy shit, dude.
That's all I got.
You just said the C word.
Wow, Jesus.
That's all I got is stupid party.
He says, Joe Z also says, I have seen movies with great acting that are dreadful. I don't know. I don't. If you could give an example, it could be.
It's called Happiness. You could buy it on JoeConti.com.
Oh, there's our producer, White Ass Brent. What's up, Brent? He got in the chat pretty quick tonight. What's going on, my friend? Follow our producer on Twitter. He is, what's his Twitter? It is, at White Ass Brent. If you have anything you want to send us, you can tweet it to Brent or email it to us. I don't know. I don't think, I can't think of a movie that, I mean, it could have great actors in it that are terrible, but great acting, you know? Like, there are some movies that they just really acted great, but I think most of the time they act great because they're good actors and they know what they're doing and they're in a great movie. A great movie with great cinematography, great music. Dude, Scorsese, I mean, just the music in his, I mean, Scorsese actually has me really, really liking the Stones, and I was never a big fan of the Stones, but
right.
Just everything around the movie, everything, whether it's the music behind it, which, you know, let's face it, you take the music out of a movie, it definitely leaves like spots where the emotion that you may be feeling during a movie is gone, you know? Like, let's face it, when there's a real sad part in a movie or a real emotional part that might make somebody get teary-eyed, part of that, and it's completely cheating, but it works, is the music. The music leading up to it, the dramatic music, you know, along with whatever's going on. Josie put Caligula. I don't know if that is a good example. Movies with great acting that are dreadful. I don't know. I never saw Caligula.
Western Echo put Revolutionary Road 2008. Great acting, a real piece of shit writing.
But were they great actors? Because it's like, or great acting.
He's got, hold on, he's got the IMDb in a chat. Hold on, let me
okay.
Check.
Because, you know, that's different when it's like, hey, you know, like my theory with Get Shorty.
Nominated for three Oscars.
Really?
Yeah,
and it was for what, like great
actor? Kate Winslet, Leonardo DiCaprio. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Revolutionary Road. Why am I not familiar with this one?
Is that when our country was very young? Is that what women used to say when they took it in the backside? Put it in the old Revolutionary Road.
It's 1955. Frank and April Wheeler, in the seventh year of their marriage, have fallen into a life that appears to most as being perfect. They live in the Connecticut suburbs with two young children. I love when Anthony does that. Frank commutes to New York City, where he works as an office job. I already hate it. Revolutionary Road, Leonardo DiCaprio. Hmm. It was fucking awful, he says.
But it was good acting. It's very weird. It's a weird combination, because usually it doesn't even matter. The movie's so bad, you don't even pay attention to the acting anymore. The movie's just bad. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, the acting could be good, but it's the movie's terrible. So it doesn't matter. So
And terrible is, you know, when you say movie is, it's all relative to where you've grown. Like, you know.
Well, of course. It doesn't mean 100%. I mean, terrible, it's an opinion.
No. I'm saying, like, if someone put, like, a top 10 list.
Okay.
Mine would be different than someone my mother's age. You know what I mean? Like, mine, Gone with the Wind wouldn't be number one.
Right.
But Gone with the Wind would be number one on a lot. You know, Shawshank Redemption would be in top five.
Yeah.
You know
easily,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because I personally like it, you know? Yeah. Godfather, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's some, you know, that just, they get it. They get the pass automatically, you know?
And especially now with all, like, guys like different movie makers now, like the younger guys, whatchamacallit, like Spike Jones got Best Director or something like that. I think it was Spike Jones. And he was a fucking skateboarder. You know what I mean? He made music videos.
Yeah, he looks like a douche.
And no, he does good work.
Yeah, no, but he looks like a douche.
Oh, but he looks like a douche. Yeah.
It's just it's
but you know, it would be different from what I like from what somebody else likes. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Oh, you're yeah. And,
of course, I mean somewhat of a different age. Let me clarify.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm just saying, I think actors, they get a little too much credit for the work that they do, especially when it comes to movies, man. Especially movies. Like when I see theater actors, I'm like, fucking bravo to you. You know, like those are real thespians. Those are actors. You know, but I'm sorry, but when you see every other hip hop rapper or every other guy who was in a fucking band, you know, just, you know, take a few lessons and then they're doing movies, it's like, yeah, really? Was Dennis Rodman that awful in that fucking Double Team movie that he was in? I mean, I didn't even see the movie, but I'm sure it was adequate. I'm sure he did an adequate job acting, you know? I mean, the movie might have been terrible, but so I never...
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. It was really bad.
Trust me.
It was really bad. I'm just saying, I mean, actors,
I know what you mean.
They just get a little too much credit for being that brilliant, when sometimes it's just all about everything that's around them, the setup, everything, you know? It's like, you know, you record an album with a band, and when they do it, you know, in the studio, and they have all the machines. I mean, I don't know anything about, like, recording music, but when they have all the tracks, and they lay them all in, and they add different sounds to the guitars, and then you put it out there, and you're like, holy shit, that was amazing, and then they go play it live, and you're like, that doesn't even sound like the same band. So, yeah. You know, it's like that's – so a band playing live would be like somebody doing something in a theater in New York on Broadway compared to a movie where it would be a recording of an album, you know? Doesn't mean the album stinks or the movie stinks, but you have to take into consideration all the work that's around them, all the you know, like I said, the cinematography and the sounds and everything.
Well, you know, the theater actors, they got nothing but their voice and their presence. And they got to do it 8 times a fucking week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They got to, you know, there's the matinee on Saturday or whatever it is. Yeah. You know, show every night, matinee.
Yeah,
but that's, you know, someone does, you know, Shakespeare. And you have to enthrall someone who doesn't know about Shakespeare in order to keep their attention. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the you know, stage actors, I can get behind.
Oh my god!
The other ones are all fucking fancy looking faces.
And I'm not saying like, dude, I love some great movies, you know, like, and I think, you know, these actors, I think some of them do a great job, you know. But I'm just saying, sometimes I think they get a little too much credit. Like I've always said, there are 4 main types of entertainment, I think. You have actors, you have, let's say, comedians, you have musicians, you have athletes, all right? If you want to break it down into the main 4. And out of all those, 3 of them have successfully gone into another one and have most people be successes. And most of them, athletes, comedians, and musicians, have successfully become actors and done ridiculous, like, you know, have made careers in acting. But that's because I don't think that acting is as difficult as it is being an athlete or being a comic or being a musician. I think it's just as hard to get the work, but I don't I don't think it's as hard. Let's face it, dude. How many bands do you know? How many actors you know have bands? And they don't do anything. They're not successful. The only reason they do any type of selling out any places is because of, like, people go see... Keanu Reeves has a band called, what, Dogstar or something like that?
Yeah,
Dogstar's never had a hit. They never fucking had any type of radio play because they probably stink.
Yeah, but, it's hard to write a hit song.
But people, right? I'm not saying it is.
I know.
You know what? I got an hour's worth of fucking mediocre material. Beat that fucking there, Keanu Reeves. You know what I mean? But the thing is,
you shove your dog star up your ass, Neo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Take that Chinese dog star and shove it in your hiney.
Do a VFW and boot. Fucking talk a lot, asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Do a fucking Knights of Columbus in Schenectady, New York, and then tell me what it's like to be a fucking actor. and that's what I'm saying. So, dude, I can name a bunch of them. Russell Crowe has a band. The Bacon Brothers have a band. Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of these guys. They've never become successful. People only go out to see him because it's like, I get to go see Kevin Bacon's going to be there. So they go and see. So I'm just saying, I don't think acting is as difficult as they lead it up to be. Do I think it's easy? Do I think anybody can just go and act? No. But I think acting is a skill where I think if you're a brilliant musician, I think it's more of a skill slash gift. Or an athlete, more of a skill slash gift, and same with either a brilliant comic or a writer or whatever. I think it's more where, hey, you know what? You could do some lessons, and if you do it long enough, you fucking dilly dally around acting, you can develop the skill. I think it's like playing pool. You play pool enough.
Once you learn how to, just like when we go on stage, before we go on stage, when, you know, we've got a fever or diarrhea or a dog just died, and then you have to shut that off and you perform, doing stand up, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, or even
when
acting.
When you learn how to shut that off, you can be an actor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same. It's not the same switch. It's the same kind of switch. Same kind of ignition where instead of being Susie Smith, you can now be, you know, Queen Elizabeth.
Right. Whoever
if you know how to shut that off, if you know how to shut Susie off, you could be Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like if you know how to stop diarrhea for 25 minutes when you got a middle in Schenectady, you could be an actor.
4 years is in the chat. Our pal, Jared, we call him. Yep. Just, I guess he made it in. Maybe his schedule at work. Welcome. Thanks for joining the chat, brother. We were bullshitting online last night. But, yeah, so, you know what? If you enjoy the Oscars, I'm not I can't smash anybody for enjoying it. But I just couldn't take the bumper-to-bumper traffic on my fucking Twitter feed of just nonsense. It's just, I don't want to see it. And if we could just realize that most of us should have Twitter accounts that have just, we should be following a lot of people and just have a few friends following, and we just do it to follow the entertaining people. That's what most of us should be.
Weston Echo says, be fair, Conti. You're talking about average actors, and there are admittedly a ton of them. Real actors like De Niro, Spacey, etc., that's different. And you can say the same about the music business. Most of them are just good, fucking, god fucking awful average.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna give Weston Echo a test. Let's go with Kevin Spacey.
It's not about his T cells, is it? Or his
No. I mean, no, he'll fail that. So, but let's go with. I'm going to go with Nicholson, okay? Does he admit that Nicholson is a great actor, okay? And I think he will. Now, here is the question. And I love Nicholson. One of my favorite movies is As Good As It Gets.
Now, is Nicholson a good actor, or is he just, you like him because he's being Nicholson?
I don't, see, that's my point.
That's the same thing with, like, Walken.
Dude, Walken, Tom Hanks. Dude, Tom Hanks, in almost every role, is playing Tom Hanks. Now, I'm not saying that that's 100% true, but when these guys get that big and they get the first kind of taste out of all the scripts, they kind of look and go, you know what, this, I can do this. This is me. You know what I mean? And they're basically playing themselves as this other character. Like Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets.
Why wouldn't I? So he's on board.
Right. So Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets was playing Nicholson with OCD. You know what I mean? When in Departed, he was basically... Dude, Nicholson didn't even put on a Boston accent for the fucking Departed. He was like, fuck you, I'm Jack Nicholson. I'm not doing the accent. I'm playing Jack. And he was playing Jack, who was a mobster. That's what they do when they get to that level. Even De Niro, let's be honest, except for like... when he was a king of comedy. I mean, he's playing De Niro in almost every part. And I love De Niro, but I'm saying when they get to this point, I think them, it's you're watching them be them with a little bit of somebody else in them because the script and everything around it causes that to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you can't see Nicholson playing Lincoln.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, 4 score and 7 fucking years.
4 scores and 7
four,
years ago.
4 scores. Yeah. You know what we gotta find? We gotta find four that. Whatchamacallit? When we were doing the backseat barbecue.
Right.
When we were doing Nicholson as the baby.
Oh my God.
Thanks a lot, Mom, for leaving me in the goddamn car.
Wow. We a lot of people probably don't even know what that was.
No.
We did a contest, like 2 or 3 years in a row, the Backseat Barbecue Contest, where we had listeners guess from...
How many babies would die in a car?
Yeah, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, how many children would end up perishing because of stupid parents by leaving their kids in the backseat of their car, and we call it the Backseat Barbecue Contest. It was awful, but it was to raise awareness, right, Kenny?
Raise awareness, yes. Yeah. But we did a bit. It was like, I don't know, it was probably about 30 seconds of just...
Oh, yeah. You were Jack Nicholson as the baby complaining that he was left outside.
It's fucking hot in here, Mom. Could you leave the AC on for once? Crack a window, twat. I'm sitting here and sweating in my...
All right, what do you think? You want to do a quick break? We got a new sponsor, too.
Do we really?
Yeah. A new smokeless, one of those new smokeless cigarette sponsors. So why don't we get, let's get the commercials out of the way. And then we come back, we have some other stuff we want to do. You know how they're always having those stories about teachers having sex with students?
Hold on. Western Echo just put it in the chat room. I still say a great actor, but not the first name I would mention. I mention him for just that reason. As good as he is, he always more or less plays himself. Then he said, to come back to you, he said, fine, Conti, let me counterpoint you. An orchestra who's playing Schubert's unfinished symphony,
yes.
Are they all just useless hacks since they're merely playing beautiful music someone else wrote?
Well, all right, I'm gonna answer his question with a question.
It's a good way to deflect
Western
that
Echo, you fucking
when
prick.
someone fucking mentions Schubert's unfinished symphony,
yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
He's got me beat intellectually.
But hang on a second. And I know the unfinished symphony because I used to play piano. What do you think is more difficult, honestly, being a really good actor or being a really good fucking orchestral musician? And we'll come back with the answer.
And Schubert's unfinished symphony started ding, 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 ding. And that's all he got.
Let's take a quick break and we'll answer that when we get back. It's the Conti and Kenny Show on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, or not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no, 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 God, oh, no!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? God. Not as painful as that. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to CZWrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were going to say that, and I was going to ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/mlrtees. That's tinyurl.com/mlrtees. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/mlrtees.
Hey, you.
Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Who wants to get closer to Conti and Kenny? Everyone with gonorrhea does. So why not like the Conti and Kenny Show Facebook page? And now follow the show and them on Twitter at C and K Show, at Joe Conti Comic, and at Kenny Michael, fucking five. What a weird, stupid Twitter that is. Kenny Michaels 5. Yeah, Kenny Michaels 5. The number 5. What a fool.
take care of my child, but I don't want you anymore.
I have a structural filament and I need cash.
If you're not listening to the Conti and Kenny Show, what the fuck are you listening to? Hello, my name's Dave Ingram.
And it's me, the Impossible D.
And we are...
Rubbish!
Metal Breakfast Radio. And when we're not drinking a few frothy ales...
There's a drunk just come on.
Or when we're not slagging amateur musicians...
Banjo fucker!
And telling them what's exactly wrong with their music...
Bastards.
Or what's right. That could be a quicker way out of it.
Get over it!
Then we're listening to... The Conti and Kenny Show.
Load of bollocks.
We have to.
Keep listening. It's the Conti and Kenny Show. .com. Do you know that Joe has moved in with his girlfriend?
How's that working out?
My girlfriend is a squirter, and it flooded the whole basement.
I would rather be dead than not have cock.
All right. Sorry if that was a little long. I had to get all the sponsors in. The Conti and Kenny Show, of course. I am Joe Conti. Let me get this purchasing order out. You know what I got to try real quick? I don't even know if I can never tell if I have the wait a minute. I'm trying to see if I have the phone thing. You know what? I don't even have it. Can you believe that shit? I'm a fucking idiot. I don't have the.
All right, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, I'm a fucking idiot.
I'm a fucking idiot.
Shit, somebody might have been trying to call, and I didn't have the phone thing hooked up. So if you want to call now, our phone number is 240-HI-C-N-K, which is 240-442-2635.
247 yuck-yucks.
Yuck-yuck-yuck-yuck. That's actually something... Has something to do with the password. But anyway, don't get silly now. Was he supposed to answer that question? What's harder, being a fucking actor or
playing? Well, he said, I can play this game, smiley face. I'm a musician, so of course I'm going to say musician.
Thank you.
But I'm also biased.
Boo. And if everyone wants to know what Western Echo sounds like, the Amazon ad is that one. It was like, listener number 10,402. Change your username. It's right on the right.
Yeah, he's like a Ruski.
Yeah, he's like a Russian. He's like, don't be stupid. Put your name on the right, and go to Amazon.com and buy something for Serbia.
he's a Ukrainian Ed McMahon.
Yes, he is. But look, I'm not saying that it's that acting is easy, but I don't think it's as difficult as it is. You know what I mean? It's like you never hear like comics going around telling people how easy comedy is.
Western Echo said I'm Chinese.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Let's see. Hold on a second. Much harder to play in a small room. Wow. Oh, shit, man. There's a lot of things going on. Let me see. All right, here we go. 4 years. Great example, Bryan Cranston. He was just known as the dad for Malcolm in the Middle for years, and he finally got the role that turned him into an icon. Right, but it was, and don't get me wrong, I think Bryan Cranston was great, but what was one of the main reasons that made him great was that the writing was great. And then, of course, he's a really good actor. You know, I'm not taking anything away from him. A member of an orchestra is displaying skill. That was honed and improved on by the natural talent. But there's also talent in playing music. 4 years in the chat. I'm a percussionist. I'd rather be in an orchestra pit anytime. When I played metal, I preferred to hide behind the drum set. Let me see. Oh, okay. Now, if they go and write a symphony, then make it into some world they seized an opportunity. You know, I understand that to play a small room. Now they're asking all these weird questions. Oh, there's a hum in the background? Oh.
Is there a hum?
Yeah, Brent says, tell Frank to fix his shit and get rid of the hum in the background. It's not a horrible one, but it's noticeable if you crank up the volume. You know, I guess we can argue this all day, but I'm just saying that I think you don't hear musicians or comics or, you know, athletes always talking about how difficult it is. Look, this all stemmed when I read an interview with Julia Roberts when she said she prepared for her role in Pretty Woman playing a prostitute by hanging out with prostitutes for 4 months.
I remember you saying this.
I mean, if that isn't the biggest bullshit story I've ever heard in my life, like, you didn't hang out with prostitutes for 4 months, you pompous twat.
Did Daniel Day-Lewis in My Left Foot hang out with a bunch of fucking cerebral palsy kids?
Exactly. Or, you know, that's the thing. And I think what they do is to justify their own, you know, like, look, let's face it, Kenny, if you found this fucking easy gig, you know, like, you just started doing this thing where, hey, I sell these lemonade things, lemonade stands. I don't know. I can't think of a good example because everything's been done.
He came up with a lemonade stand.
They say there's a big difference. Josie says there's a big difference between just acting and acting well. Yeah, but dude, I've seen acting from people who just started out or who aren't really good actors, and they're terrible. Look at any local commercial that is like for, you know, Billy's Bagel Shop. And they're like, hi, do you have any orange juice? And be like, yes, I do. Would you like cream cheese on your bagel? And it's just awful, awful, awful acting. And they're like people who are either just started acting or they just drew them up. And you can tell who can act.
You got to switch the button off. You know what I mean? When there's a camera in your face, listen, 99% of, I would say 90%. Of people in this world have to act every single day.
That's a good point.
Whether it's your job or whether you're mad at your girlfriend or your wife or something, and you don't want to let her know, or you're maybe having one of them winter blah days. You know what I mean? And you just gotta show face. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Save face, show face, whatever it is. That's what acting is. The key point is when there's a camera in your face is not paying attention to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you understand what I get? It's kind of like a weird way to go about it. But everybody, if someone's in, if they're a car salesman or someone who does something with customer service or even with small talk, something in like your profession, right, Joe? You know what I mean? Where it's, hey, how are you?
Dude, I'm brilliant. I hate small talk, but I'm brilliant at it.
Oh,
I can make a quick little funny quip about whatever we're talking about and move on my way to the next little girl. We don't ask why. It's just that I don't know. I just think that it's not as difficult. I'm not saying it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But I think it's always laid out to be, think about it. If you became an actor, dude, right? And you were like, this is fucking great. I'm doing movies. I sit in a trailer. I learn some lines.
From your lips to God's ears.
Exactly. And you're doing your lines, and sometimes you forget them, and then they give it to you, and you get to do them a bunch of times. And you're like, dude, I'm really getting this fucking acting shit down. You're not going to go around telling... Are you going to go around telling people that it's easy? Or this is... It's you're going to be like, yeah, you know... It ain't easy. Because you don't want people fucking just... Because there's enough people as there is who want to be actors. There's more people who want to be actors than I think any other form of entertainment. You know?
Right.
No, there can't be... It can't be any more than actors or maybe people that sing. Like when you see American Idol, how many people want to become... become a singer.
I think acting is way. I would agree with you, but acting is way farther beyond singers because, you know, most of the people understand that they could. All right, I can sing. The delusional ones have no idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But actors are a lot of people that want to be actors are fucking delusional.
Yeah. Oh,
you
dude,
know where they. Whatchamacallit? Where they think they can do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What?
Dude, you gotta go.
I'm getting smashed in the chat room too.
You gotta go into the More Like Radio chat.
Oh, okay.
Weston Echo just put Kenny Feld.
Get out of here. Oh, oh no. I gotta look.
Oh my god, it's brilliant.
Dude, this is great. 4 years in the chat. Says, Joe, one of your best skills, you can take a subject and fill time, even if you don't have much to talk about. Funny thing is, after a while, I know when you're doing it. So it's like, yeah, they know when we're just filling up time just to fill up time. Josie, actors have a natural shame that they are born with because if they work as hard as they can, there is no tangible evidence of it. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I understand what you're saying, because it's going to come out the way it comes out, no matter how hard you work at it.
Dude, I gotta post this all over the place.
I gotta see. Hold on, I'm gonna go into the More Like Radio. Maybe I can. Maybe if he would be a doll and put that.
Brent just said he stole it.
Oh, okay, good, good,
yeah,
good. Because Brent.
Rorschach is awake. Oh. Oh my god.
Dude, that's disturbing. You look like an old Jew. You look scary. You look like you're
How
just...
How awesome is that?
Dude, that's... All right, you need to email me that, please, Brent, because I'm going to put that on the website.
Say the phone number again.
It is 240-442-2635. Why don't you put it in the chat, dear, you big dummy?
I just did. I just needed you to say it. How funny is Kenny Feld?
Oh, my God. So they try to overcompensate with bullshit stories about hanging with hookers. I agree 100%, Joe. That's what they do to make it so, hey, you know, I didn't just go up there and just do it, you know? You have to make it like it was harder than just the normal amount of work it would take to learn a script. And after a while, man, when you get to do something, just like being a stand-up. Like, one thing about stand-up is, like, I'll find a bit that I haven't done in years. And I might have done it 6 or 7 years ago, and it just didn't work, or it was okay. And you do it now, and the bit is better. It's better because I'm a better comic. So if they've been, you know, they've been acting for 10 years, they could take the same script that they may have done when they were 4 years into it, and they're just a better actor, so it's just going to come out better.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree.
This fucking thing is awesome.
But, you know, like, how could, like, a Kirsten Dunst at, like, 11 years old win an Oscar for Interview with a Vampire?
Was it a great movie? Was it a phenomenal movie?
Oh, it was a great, really good movie. It was an Anne Rice book. Yeah, it was a really good movie.
I mean, I think those kid actors that play really serious roles, I mean, there's something to them. I mean, I think there's nothing more disturbing than listening to a 9-year-old girl being like, yeah, so I was out the other day and I saw my mom and we shopped for a while, and then we thought about the sun. And the sun, the way it just brings vitamins down, and I'm just like, you talk like a kid, you know? What are you talking about? It's just weird. It's weird to hear like a little kid speak like that. And most of them are like that. They're not like kids. They're like adults trapped in kids' bodies.
I know what you mean. Yeah, there are a few of them that you're like, dude,
you should be picking your nose and like, you know, doing fresh apples on somebody. You know what I mean? Pressing your ass cheeks up against your uncle's face.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I agree with Josie and chat. It's always an exaggeration. Like, I never tell people that stand-up is really, really hard. Oh, my God. I tell people, I go, yeah, it's fun, man. You should try it. First thing I'll tell people, I'll be like, you should try it.
And they look at me
like I'm nuts. They're like, what are you, crazy? I can't do that. And then I kind of wink to myself, that's right, motherfucker.
You know what I've always said is it's not when people like are getting the Academy Award, and they're like,
Josie said Kirsten Dunst didn't win. It was Anna Paquin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think Kirsten Dunst was nominated.
Oh, okay.
For a supporting actress. She was a little girl that was trapped in a vampire's body. Tom Cruise bit her in early. But anyway, like I've said, it's not... When people say, you know, like they get the award and it's like, you know, just it's a lot of hard work and perseverance. The hard work isn't the stage. That's the payoff. The hard work is having to drive to Pennsylvania 7 hours out for $100 spot.
Yeah.
Or having to do seven sets in one night just to make a few bucks to eat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing 7, 8, 9 shows in a week as a young actor, as a the study. You know, if the one actor can't do it, they come in. I forget the name of it.
Oh, something the understudy.
Understudy, yeah. That's the hard part. So when they actually do get the award, it's kind of like a deep breath and go, that's the hard work. You know, the hard work is, you know, it's not. I'm not going to pull a hamstring doing stand up. You know what I mean? I'm not going to break a leg.
Right,
so to speak, doing stand up. It's the hard part is being sick and doing a fucking radio show on a Monday from my dining room table. That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 years.
All right. Do you want to get into? You know how there's always those stories, those teachers.
Excuse me. Bless Sorry. You.
Teachers having sex with their students.
Say again, I'm sorry.
You know how there's always those teachers are having sex with their students?
Yeah, of course.
Well, there was one at my old... Well, I went to Parsippany High School, but there were two. Parsippany High and Parsippany Hills. Well, a 32-year-old English teacher at Parsippany Hills was indicted last Tuesday on charges. She had a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student. Jenna Leahy of Morristown, she became involved in a sexual relationship with a student that started while the victim was attending the school. She was indicted on 2 counts of second degree endangering the welfare of a child. A child. A 16-year-old boy. 1 count of second degree sexual assault. 1 count of second degree official misconduct. And 3 counts of fourth degree criminal sexual conduct. Leahy, who was also the school field... Oh, wait a minute. She was also the school's field hockey coach. Uh-oh. Admitted sending sexually charged text message and picture. Oh, to a 16-year-old male student. Okay. I thought it was to a... I thought she was a dyke, and she sent it to a girl student. Nope. It was a 16-year-old boy. It's all... Yeah, the rest is tra-la-la-la-la. Bail, $50,000. She can't have contact with children under the age of 18 and cannot return to work while on bail. It's awesome. And it's so cool because I'm sitting there and it says, anyone with information related to these charges, call the Morris County Prosecutor's Office. And also call Detective Keith Duffy at the Parsippany Police Department, Detective Bureau. And the phone number And that's that phone number is where my brother works. Which I... It's hilarious. The reason why I brought this one up is because there was some things going on when I was in high school with a teacher that I could say, because I will not mention the teacher's name. There was a teacher. She wasn't like a regular teacher. She was like, I don't know, like some sort of counselor. Like, she didn't have a class, but she was like some sort of counselor, or, you know, teach some special classes. And the rumor was, she was banging and blowing a few fucking students.
All right, now it's getting hot.
Right, but here's the kicker, Kenny. There's two kickers. Number one, the dudes that supposedly she was banging and, like, you know, or giving blowjobs to, were like the kids that were getting laid already. So it was like, you know what I mean? It's kind of shitty. It's like, you're banging these dudes?
Oh, you wanted to spread it around the nerdy pool.
Yeah, give it to us. You know what I mean? I wasn't getting anything in high school. How about taking a scared kid, not a kid that's going to climb aboard. You know, take a scared kid that's going to be like, I don't know what to do. And then just fucking, you know, and you show them what to do. And then you do the right thing. And here's the second kicker. The teacher's daughter went to the high school.
At the time. All right.
So think about it. This girl, her mom was a teacher, and she's blowing dudes that she's going to high school with.
Wow. And now listen, in high school, you have to understand, there's no four years in the chat over here. It's horrible when it's an older man, younger student, but when it's an older woman and a student, it's awesome. Yes, we all agree with that 100%.
100%.
There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, especially 16. I got laid at 13. So at 16, I was already, let's do it. I was in. So there's a difference between a girl, especially if you're a parent. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I high-five my son, if it was my daughter, I'm going to prison for murder. You know what I mean?
Yep. But it's a difference.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. You know, back in high school, you couldn't finger a girl without it going around school. Hey, Kenny fingered Sally out over at the weekend, the pool party.
Apparently, you know? You were fingering Charlie Brown's sister.
Is his sister's name Sally?
Of course.
Really? I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that one.
Shit.
But, so of course, if someone is, if there's a teacher and guys are getting blown by her, whatchamacallit, they're, you know, just think about this, though. Think about the mind frame of a woman, okay? Not just think about, I don't know, I wouldn't call it deviousness. I mean, I would, I guess, and I'm waffling. Hold on a second, because I'm formulating this point as we go.
Okay, yeah. It's called having a conversation, stupid.
Yeah.
You're making it like you're doing something that's never been done on the face of the earth. No, I'm formulating this opinion as we go. That's what we've been doing for 7 years now, or 8 years. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, Hal's in the chat room.
Oh, Hal's from It's All About Me.
I had an older male music teacher that dated a student, divorced his wife, and married her after graduation. Same thing happened with my baseball coach in my high school. He was also a gym teacher. Graduation hit, boom, divorced, they got married.
Yeah.
And I think they still live a fine life. I have no idea. But that did happen also in my school.
That happened to me, too. There was a male music teacher that the girl, was like a freshman. And I think they knew that they were going to get together. And they waited until she graduated. And then they ended up hooking up, and I think they dated and might have gotten married.
No kidding. Well, those band girls, you know, they're shoving flutes up their pussies. And
yeah, apparently it's a good time.
Band camp?
Yeah,
shit.
Of course. Yeah, so...
But what I was saying real quick is just think of the mind frame. Like, now, if it was reversed... See, men have a different way of thinking. Men want to bang... the 16-year-old girl, the 17-year-old girl. You know what I mean? Because they're supple enough, it's, you know, in 1860, we could marry them at 14. But a normal man doesn't look at it like, I want that young kid.
Oh,
Tulsa.
It's when they come into fruition, when they start, you know, becoming baby makers.
When they start
makers.
Looking like women.
Yes, especially now these days. But think
no
about
different,
the...
No different these days than... The only thing is, you because of the internet, you can see a lot more people.
Yes, I don't want to bang a 12-year-old girl, but I would fuck the shit out of an 18-year-old. Okay, because she can do ecstasy and right. smoke pot and drive on the parkway. Okay, you're allowed to get laid. You're cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
you can
all right.
vote. You can go to the army. You can put your pussy out on Craigslist. Go ahead, do it. I'm in. Anyway.
No, but come on. All right, look.
But just think about ahead. You know the female part. Is that, you know, for some, these guys aren't full-grown males yet. You know what I mean? They're young, budding males, but they're, you know, they're idiots. They're dunces.
Yeah, but
there's
the
no
girls are...
16 or 17-year-old high school kid that's going to romance or know how to romance. We whisper sweet nothings in the ear of some fucking special ed teacher. You know
what
I mean?
Terrible idea.
I just don't.
They're basically trying to bang semi-attractive retards.
Well, what's the difference? All right. Well, when a guy, right, is checking out a young girl and it's like, you know, let's just say 18, just because we can cover and you know, cover our bases, because, you know, you mention anything under 18 and you're a pedophile, which is completely ridiculous, but. 18, you know, these girls, they have amazing bodies. They just look, they look great. Every guy on the fucking planet, even old men, look at 18-year-old women and go, and oh, my God. Now, what's the difference?
Like I always say, their vaginas smell like puppy's breath. They're like little snowflakes.
Who do you think you are? What kind of a man are you?
But now, what is the difference between that attitude and, like you're saying, a woman, it's like, hey, you know what? It's a 17-year-old dude, you know, a 17-year-old kid or a 16-year-old kid. It's like, what are you getting out of it? It's the same thing. Or is it like a control issue when it comes to women? Or is it that she's a mental midget and she can, you know what I mean? Because let's face it, women usually lead with their emotion. Men lead with their cocks. So
right,
women
right,
lead
right.
with their emotions. So is it like, is she emotionally attached to this 16-year-old guy? And then, of course, sex and all that relationship follows. So if that is that it? Because if that's it, she's a fucking moron, you know, for it's almost like whenever you hear like a guy, you know, yeah, you know, I banged this, you know, I you know, a guy 35 years old and he banged an 18-year-old. And you're like, oh, well, that's great, you know, whatever. But then if it's like, yeah, I'm in love with a 16-year-old. And you're like, really? Did you ever speak to one? Like, what are you talking about? Like, how could you fucking be in love with one? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. So is
right.
it leading with emotion or are you leading with your private area? And that's either the difference or depending on, I guess, case by case, you know.
Well, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And now just think about this. Is it possible, and they're loving it in the chat room over here. Yeah.
they're having a good time here. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, for a woman, a guy can a woman at 16 or 17 is much more advanced than a guy is. You know what I mean? For the most part. For the most part.
I mean, they do say that women mature more, but, girl, you know.
But I still can't have a conversation about big things with a 16 or 17-year-old, 18-year-old. You know what I mean? It's purely ding-dong.
What big things are you going to talk about to a 17-year-old?
Well, yep. I would talk about average things. I would just talk about average things.
Without the wise cracks.
So, it's, so with this thing, what was going on, from what I gathered, I mean, this is all rumors, but you know, there isn't rumors for no reason. And she wasn't a bad looking woman, but it was just a weird thing because I had known it was kind of known. And I always wondered if the daughter who was in she might have been 1 or 2 years younger than us, knew Like, did she know the rumors about her mom?
Oh, yeah, well, I think she did. Because remember I said, you know,
it gets around, you know?
Yeah, you can put your fingers up Sally and then everybody knows it. You know what I mean? And there's no possible way that these guys aren't getting blown and no one's talking. It just doesn't work that way. Unless you're fucking James Bond in high school, you know?
Right, but they're not ratting. They weren't ratting those guys out. Now, today, they're ratting them out to the cops. They were just telling their friends, and everybody would be like, oh, you know, jealous or whatever, you know? But that now they're ratting them out and getting these women in trouble. And you know what? You could sit there and argue... Like, what's an appropriate age? If he's 12?
Of course.
13, you know? But it's like, and the thing that bothers me is when they go, oh, well, you know what? Especially women do this all the time when they're talking about their precious little boys. And they're like, oh, well, you know what? This teacher, she should be in jail because she could emotionally ruin my son. Let me tell you something. If your 16-year-old boy isn't already fucking ruined by some 16-year-old girl. We all cried because some 16-year-old girl broke our fucking heart in high school. So what's the difference if some sexually advanced woman is going to break your heart at 23 or a 16-year-old? You know what I mean? What's
the difference? How about this one? How about this one? Hey, Ma, don't get divorced fucking twice in my fucking early years, okay? You want me to grow up to be a fucking regular human? Stop fucking around. Well, she wasn't fucking, you know, pick a good dude once in a while, okay?
Right.
Now you're fucking yelling at me because I'm trying to get laid at 14 by the school nurse and she's got a fucking chocolate chip mole on her forehead. I don't give a shit. You can jerk me off and stick a thermometer up my ass. I don't give a fuck.
Old Keebler
face. It's your fault, Ma. It's your fault.
I learned it by watching you.
Yeah, you did this to me.
Dude, 4 years in the chat, and this is kind of out of left field, but it's still funny. He's like, when I'm at work sometimes, I'll say a zinger and go, here, boy, and people look at me weird. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, don't do it in mixed company. They don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they don't know what you're
talking about. Just do it for yourself.
But yeah, so it's like, what is the reasoning besides the fact that it's a work thing and... You know, and there is something with the fact that there's a power thing. You know, there's this power thing between a teacher and a student. And I get that aspect of it. You shouldn't be having, I mean, I get it. You shouldn't be having sex with your students. It's just like, hey, you know, you shouldn't be having sex with your employees. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that person has control over your livelihood. And whether it's just 4 years in high school or at a job, so I understand that aspect of it, but the true emotional scarring that is going to happen to a 16-year-old boy because a 23-year-old hot teacher had sex with him or was, you know, had a mini relationship with him, dude, it would have been nothing better than having some hot friggin' older woman. Like, when I went for my junior dinner, right? I was supposed to go with this girl who I really dug.
You had a junior dinner?
Yeah, we had a junior dinner. It's a senior prom and a junior dinner. You get all down. You know that picture of me in the suit, in the white suit? That was my junior fucking dinner.
You wore that to dinner?
I wore that to a junior, but it's like a prom, but they called it junior dinner.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I'm calling it a junior prom like everybody else in the world.
Well, we were idiots. They called it a junior dinner. Because it was basically a big dinner at some hall or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking Chuck E. Cheese, whatever. But there was a woman that was...
dinner.
Yeah, junior dinner. I don't know why. But there was a chick that was renting out our basement when I was a junior in high school, right? From my dad.
Oh, like a tenant in your America?
Yes. And she was probably 23, 24. And she was an ex-boyfriend of a guy who used to own the gym that we all used to go to, like four blocks from my house. Fucking, she was smoking hot, dude. And my friends are like, you should ask that broad Jennifer. I think her name was Jen or Jennifer. You should ask her to go to the fucking junior dinner with you. Imagine me as 16-year-old or 17, I think, walk in with a 23-year-old smoking hot chick to my... It would have been... Dude, it would have been the coolest thing ever. You know?
Absolutely.
So don't tell me it's an emotional scarring thing. You know, it's your teacher. I mean, if it fucked your grades up or something, then I understand. But it's not going to mess up a guy any more than a girl his own age is going to mess him up. Because we all get our hearts smashed, girls and guys. We all get our hearts smashed. So it doesn't matter. That's the bullshit. That's a cop-out. You know, you want to go legally and say, eh, you know what? You're in a position of power. You're a fucking idiot. But don't say, my boy! My poor little boy! Because that doesn't fly with me and with most men. It's all nonsense.
Junior dinner.
4 years in the chat said the worst damage he would get would be red swollen hands from all the high fives I'd be getting.
Exactly. Good call. Good fucking call. Exactly.
Josie, good question. Isn't that the plot to Vision Quest? Isn't that kind of the plot? To,
yeah.
Wasn't he like
shit, good one.
Wow. And that all, fucking Vision Quest played one of my songs that I loved in high school. It was part of the Vision Quest thing, and I will get it... And it actually, this is so douche-inducing, you have no idea.
Oh, boy.
The song from Vision Quest was a song by Dio, and it was a song that I used to use as my motivation to...
When you had your boombox outside her front yard?
No, I didn't do any of that, but this was like my own motivation when I used to run, and if I wanted to motivate to try to lose weight or fucking try to get a girl or whatever, and here it is.
Hold on, before you play that, didn't you do that? Didn't you walk past the girl's house playing the music? Was that you? With a boombox? You made it like a tape and you kept walking past her house?
No, I made a girl a tape once. I gave it to her, but I didn't like do it past her.
No,
house.
Not like a John Cusack anything moment.
No, but it was.
Who
bad.
Was that? Somebody did that.
I don't know.
One of our friends. Did
one of
that,
our friends
yeah.
did that, but that was pathetic because I was 22 when I made that fucking tape. I was a fucking zero. I made a mixtape for a girl. I was 22. It was 19. I was 23. It was 1992. Jesus Christ. Anyway. This is part of Vision Quest, but dude, it was my motivation song. It would be my song that would get me motivated to do things and try to become better. It was called Hungry for Heaven. It's really...
Yeah, because of your junior dinner.
My junior dinner, yeah. It's all about like trying to overcome shit. This was like the thing I...
It should have been called I'm Hungry for the Chicken.
My junior dinner.
I'm hungry for the Chateaubriand.
It's like, yeah, I'm hungry for a date.
Medley, I'm not going to eat.
Yeah, I'm hungry for a date for my junior dinner. Oh, 4 years doesn't know. Crazy for You by Madonna. You got to watch Vision Quest. It's about a high school student who's a runner, and he hooks up with, like, I think an older chick, and...
I'm hungry for the cunt living in my father's basement.
Josie, I still work out to Only the Young, the song he's jogging to during the open credits. Oh my god. Yeah, dude. This is when I was running when I was like 15. I started running when I was 14. Grandpa Conti, what is Vision Quest? Fuck off. Yeah, Joe Z knows, man. This is a great song, man. This was one of his top. This was one of Dio's only real hits. This actually got like radio airplay, and
lines outside of a Denny's. Hungry
Here
for
we go.
Heaven.
Here we go. Here comes the chorus. Ready? You're hungry for heaven.
I'm hungry for Jenny.
But ready? But you need a little help. You need a little help to get to heaven, buddy. And then a little hungry.
Just put my bib on. Don't want to ruin my suit. Jenny's next to me. It's cost me some loot.
Oh, dude. Jesus, man. Oh,
hungry
that's right. He was
for heaven for junior dinner. Oh, that's fucking priceless.
I still, to this day, if I'm like motivated to do something, and if I hear this song, I get motivated. It's really sick.
I hear this song and I make a sandwich.
Hungry for heaven. Bow down.
Who is this, Striper?
Dude, it's a very poppy song for Dio. You're hungry for heaven. Yeah, so what are you going to do, man? This was, but this was on the Vision Quest.
Yeah, it was on the soundtrack. For, soundtrack for Vision Quest. It was on the B side of I'll Have the Fish.
It was on the B side. Do you have a tie that matches white suit?
And there was track six. It was called My Long Hairs and My Soup.
Holy
and then track
shit,
seven
dude.
Was Can I Bum a Smoke?
Now wait a minute. It's almost 9 o'clock, but I think
at 10 o'clock. Track 10 was I Need a Ride Home, Mom.
Somebody told me that there's no Back Talk Radio tonight. Is that true? So we're just going till 10 o'clock.
I haven't heard.
See what they say in the chatteroo. And did somebody want to? Did somebody? Nobody tried to call in. You said they wanted the phone.
Hal's asked for the number.
Why don't she call in?
I don't know.
Is she there? Tell her.
She said Rorschach woke up. What's the number?
Oh, yeah, tell Rorschach. Or he can, if he wants to Skype in, it's NPN Studios. Oh, okay, there's no Back Talk Radio tonight, so we can go straight till 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Our producer, White-Ass Brent, clued me in on that. So,
see,
yeah.
a couple of good laughs, I feel better.
Oh my god, dude!
Good for the duration.
Junior
fucking
dinner.
Junior dinner. That's so stupid.
Wow. Yeah. And if you want, you can see pictures of me in my white suit with the long hair. But junior dinner, and I ended up going with.
That's
my
a great pick. If we could put that in the chat room, that would be brilliant.
That's the one with Dave Ingram made it with me dancing from Saturday Night Fever with the girl behind me.
Yeah. You look like a young Ozzy.
Yeah. And I end up going to the junior dinner because I didn't want to go because the girl, like 2 days before, and I had a crush on this chick. 2 days before, she
told
me.
Was it the basement chick or a different chick?
No. The basement chick was some broad. I didn't really know her, you know what I mean? She was just living in the basement. She was like, hey, you know, like a. But this girl who was like a couple years younger than me, she was, I think I was a junior, she was a freshman. And, she was the hottest chick in the school. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking of. Like, way out of my league. Like, not even close. There was no reason for this girl to ever fucking dig
me. Oh, were you one
of
them?
What do you mean?
Did you get turned down? I'm so sorry.
Oh, did I get turned down? So, anyway, she told me she would come to my junior dinner with me. And, dude, I was excited. I was like, this is fucking great.
She said yes?
Oh, she said yes. She told me she was going to go with me. So I got my white suit on, and I got my license, and now I'm driving because I got my license
what car,
in April.
What car did you have?
Oh, I had a 75 Duster. Fantastic vehicle. $75. So what happened was, it was my junior dinner, and I just got my license in April. I think the junior dinner's in, like, the end of May. All right, let's see. We got a phone call here. Hello? Hello?
You're supposed to say Conti and Kenny Show.
Oh, am I supposed to say Conti and Kenny Show? Conti and Kenny Show. Waiting for people to join this video call. Invite more. Okay, let's see. I don't know what happened. I saw a number. Hello?
Conti and Kenny Show. You're doing something wrong.
No, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, I'll wait and see if they call back. But anyway, so what happened was, it was like 2 days before the junior dinner, and she tells me she can't go because she got a new boyfriend, and her boyfriend, who's out of high school. She's a freshman. He's out of high school, of course. Was like, nah, I'm not. I don't want you going to this fucking junior dinner with this dude. So I'm fucking devastated. Devastated.
Yeah.
And I was so upset. And I said, I'm not going. And everybody's like, dude, you got to go. It's a junior dinner. I'm like, I'm not fucking going. I was a big baby. So I'm like, I'm not going. And I really didn't want to go. You know,
I wouldn't want to go either. Yeah.
You know, I was like, you know, I put all my fucking eggs in this one basket. And now I'm going to look like
those are some pretty good eggs, because you're thinking, like, when she said yes, you were like, whoa. And then you thought about it every day.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure, you know, for sure what was going to happen. But I was going to give it a shot. Let's try it again here. Conti and Kenny Show. Hello? Conti and Kenny Show.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, who's this?
This is 4 years. This is Jeremiah.
Hey, what's up, Jer? How are you, sir?
Well, there's a bit of a delay on listening on the West Coast, and you were getting into the middle of a good story, and I just didn't want to interrupt it. I did want to call, but how's it going, man?
Good, good. You want to just hang on the phone while I finish the story? Just hang on the phone.
Yes.
Don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. So anyway, so now I'm devastated, and just to turn your computer down behind you, Jer, because I can hear myself.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
So I'm devastated, and that's when it was like 2 or 3 days, and that's when everybody said, "Dude, you got to go," and I'm like, "Nah, I'm not going." And they're like, "All right, we understand, but you should find out if the neighbor downstairs would go." And I don't remember if I even asked her. I might have asked her.
Who mentioned that?
My friends, man. They were fucking smart. Right. You know, like, they, dude, that fucking hot 24-year-old broad that's living downstairs that has a fucking ridiculous, phenomenal body, that you should see if she'll go with you, because that would just be the talk of the school. And I don't remember if I asked her or if I was afraid to. I don't remember. I can't for the life of me remember if I asked her, but obviously I didn't go with her. I ended up going with Mike Gionis. I ended up taking a friend, my friend, who wasn't going to go anyway. He had just he got to the school in like sophomore year.
So you took a dude.
I took my fucking friend Mike Gionis. We went stag. We called it stag. They called that stag back then. I don't even know. It was like, all right. And so we ended up going and having a good time.
You didn't even just do the alone thing and just hang out with your pals. You had to bring a date.
I brought a date. We went. I didn't bring a date, motherfucker. It was going stag. We both went. We both went alone, but we traveled there together.
You went alone, but you showed up at the
exact same time, holding hands, jerking each other off, and, you know, that's how it works. So what's up, Jared? This is the infamous, in 4 years in the chat, because he sent us an email 4 years ago, and then it took us 4 years to us to respond to it, because we weren't going on Podomatic, and then ended up, you know, he started listening to the show again. What's going on, brother?
Not a whole hell of a lot. I just want to tell you guys how much I love your show. Both you and Kenny are funny as shit. Almost.
Well, that's,
you guys kill me.
That's very, very sweet of you, sir. Obviously, you're on a time delay, or maybe some sort of humor delay, but I do appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, well, I do my best. I guess Champagne Mike ain't coming in today, huh?
Champagne Mike, cocksucker, is down in New Orleans. He's been
down there from Mardi Gras.
There is a video online of, and I got to see if I can put it on the Conti and Kenny page. My girlfriend, he put it out on his Facebook thing. There was a guy during Mardi Gras who was like some sort of over-the-top fundamentalist Christian going around and basically questioning everybody at Mardi Gras, and fucking Mike was one of the guys that he was asking all these questions, and Mike is all hammered and he's just sitting there, and the guy's asking, like, you know, don't you know that this is a sin? And Mike's just going, woo! And he's just all hammered.
Really? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's on his Facebook page. We gotta get it and put it on Conti and Kenny. she turned it on like 4 in the morning, so I was half asleep. But yeah, I have to go
sure
back and
okay
watch it.
With him that we posted.
He put it on Facebook, dude.
Yeah, but he might take it off.
No.
He has a real job.
Yeah, I know. But still, he wasn't doing anything illegal or anything. It was just a guy, you know, one of these, you know, jack-offs who, you know, is critiquing everybody down there, saying that they're all sinners. And so I want to definitely get that video and put it out there. But that's where he is. He'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, meanwhile, Mike's dressed like RuPaul with no pants on. Just going, woohoo!
He's just dressed like Paul, let's be honest.
The reason I'm asking is because, holy crap, there's a bad echo. I can totally hear my own voice. So I'm going to hold the phone away from my ear so I don't, like, fuck myself up.
Go ahead.
All right. So here's the thing. When Champagne Mike does a story, he has a really compelling story, and it's very funny and it's very interesting, but he has this certain cadence to where he talks really, really fucking quiet, and he'll build up to the top of the fucking thing, and then all of a sudden, he'll answer this loud. And it fucking drives me nuts because I don't get the punchline, and you guys are in the fucking room with him and stuff like that, and it drives me fucking crazy.
He does
you,
do
you
that.
You have to see when he does that, he's leaning, or like, he'll lean, by each story, he leans farther and farther back in his chair.
and then he dives in, nose first, into the mic, and he's like, he'll be like, yeah, so the woman was there, and she was sitting on the toilet, and then they got her out. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing? He's got the mic technique of a child doing, you know, like, he's terrible at it. But we bust his balls about it, and we try to get him to do it right, but he never does. Never does.
Well, a lot of times, I work in production, so I have a lot of machines around me and stuff like that. And so I listen to my podcasts, you know, when you guys do your show and everything, I listen when I'm at work. And a lot of times I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Then I don't hear what he fucking says. And I'm like, God damn it.
He shits the bed. He's terrible.
That's
He's got
funny.
Terrible mic technique. And his name's Mike, which is ironic. He's the worst. He really is the worst. You're 100% right.
And you know what? He's going to be crushed when we tell him that you said that. He's very fragile. He comes across as, but he is a very fragile, sensitive man.
Yeah, because when he's in, like, you know, we're just hanging out, and then all of a sudden I'll, like, bust his balls about something and smash him, and then he's like,
That was really hurtful.
Yeah, he takes it completely personal. Where he'll just really suck on a joke, and me and Joe both look at him and go, was that what you were gonna say? Is that what you wanted to put out there? And he goes, oh, this isn't cool. I don't feel comfortable anymore.
This is great.
And he's being totally truthful.
Yeah.
Poor fragile Navy SEAL Marine dude. Yeah, I'm really beat up about that.
Yeah, he's a fragile ex-Marine cop. How fragile can you be? You know what I mean? He's just
Yeah, I was wondering if the ex-prostitute user and the cokehead were afraid to fucking tell him what to do.
I know. Can you imagine that, Kenny? It's like, yeah, I dove into prostitution for 10 years of my life, and you have been doing coke, of course, since you were 13 and carrying an illegal handgun. And we're wondering if the policeman doing the show with us gets hurt when we bust his balls.
No, he loves it. He loves hanging around the crime. He's like a non-violent Batman. He just wants to be in the seedy areas and just go home at night and let the crime take care of itself.
So he's a voyeur cop.
Yeah. Instead of getting involved, he just wants to watch it from the stands and go home with his safe and have his protection.
I got a question for you guys. I'm sorry about the delay. I don't mean to talk over you, but I can't help it because I keep hearing my own voice, so I have to pull my phone away from my head.
Go ahead.
Do you guys ever plan on coming to the West Coast? I'm in Portland right now. Do you guys have any plans?
If Allentown, Pennsylvania is considered the West Coast, I'm going to probably be there in a couple weeks.
No.
Well, there's not a whole lot of information or videos of you guys on YouTube and stuff like that. I love your show. I wish there was more of your guys' stand up recorded.
Oh, well, that's very, very kind of you. Thank you, sir. And we also have another caller, Holly. What's up?
Evening, fellas.
How are you? We have 4 years on the line also, who is Jer.
You can just call me Jer. That's cool.
Jer.
Hi, nice to meet you. I don't think I know him from other
You're both on the West Coast. He's in Oregon.
Oh, so you're just a little bit south of me. I'm up in Seattle. Okay.
Well, goddamn Washingtonians anyways.
What?
I'm kidding.
I'm not from here originally.
No, she's moved all around the country for all different reasons.
Vagabond.
Yeah. What's up, Hals?
You were talking about Mardi Gras.
Yes.
I don't know if you listened to It's All About Me this past Saturday.
This past Saturday, I missed it, but I don't know if the podcast is up yet.
I can't believe you missed it. It was an amazing show.
It figures.
I had a king cake delivered to Rorschach.
You had a what?
A king cake.
What's a king cake?
It's a Mardi Gras cake. We had a whole Mardi Gras show. We all talked about Mardi Gras and little baby Jesus.
Oh, no way.
Yes, a king cake is for Mardi Gras, and it's just like a giant cinnamon roll. It's round, and they bake this little plastic baby inside of the cake, and it's supposed to represent the little baby Jesus.
All right. I there's so many angles of horror that just came out of the sentence that you just said.
It's a baby in a cake.
Baby that was baked in a cake.
Yes, it's like a little plastic.
Hello?
Hey, you there?
Oh, did I just hang up on Holly?
Damn, he's just trying to shut me up, I'm sure.
No, I screwed up. Holly's got a call back. I screwed up. I ended up, I didn't add the call. I'm sorry.
You put me on hold and then hung up on
me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Please call back, Holly, because I want to hear this. Has anybody ever heard this before? A king cake where you take a baby and you bake it? I mean, it's not a real baby, of course, but a baby Jesus and they bake it in a cake?
It'd make a good story.
Kenny, have you heard this?
I have. What the fuck did I just miss in 30 seconds?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I want her to call back. Please call back, and then I'll know how to do this. I screwed up because I just clicked on her instead of adding her to the call because of this.
Kenny, it's not a chicken truck killing a bunch of fucking kids on your website.
Hey, have you, hey, Jared, have you checked out my DVD, the Happiness DVD?
I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, just get the iTunes, dude. It's like $6. It's like real cheap.
No problem.
Or like CD Baby. You don't have to buy the whole thing, you know? I mean, if you want to. And do you have any of our stickers? Did we ever get stickers to you?
I'm one of the first people that you sent stickers to.
Fucking beautiful.
And oh, actually, cool. I'm going to send you some pictures of where I put them in Portland.
Nice.
Hang on 1 second.
Hey, Hals just came back in the chat room. Hals, call back real quick.
Yeah, tell her to call back real quick. And I'll. There we go. All right, add to group call. And I think we got a Holly.
You put me on hold.
No, I screwed up. I just clicked on you and it put Kenny on hold. And then when I clicked, Kenny called back, I clicked him and put you on hold. I got you good now. We can talk about my inadequacies for the rest of the show.
Skype's the worst. I can't ever figure it out myself.
But that's okay. So please explain to Kenny this king cake. Because he missed it. So just go through it real quick.
It's just a giant Danish. They color it with icing, and then they put colored sugar on it of purple, yellow, and green, which are the Mardi Gras colors. And it means like power, faith, and justice. I learned all this. I learned all this by doing show prep.
Was this at the Halls of Justice? Where'd you get this cake?
No, you get it at the bakeries all over New Orleans.
Meanwhile, in New Orleans...
I ordered it from this bakery called Randazzo's. I don't know how you say it.
Randazzo's. Yeah, you're right. Randazzo's. Yeah, I've heard that.
Randazzo's. That was right in Sheepshead Bay next to Pips. Remember that joint?
I don't think so. Was that a pretty famous joint?
Yeah, absolutely. It was Pip's Comedy Club, and then right next door we'd go to Rondazzo's.
Oh, okay.
Is that in New Orleans you're talking?
No, this is Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn.
Here, Brent put a picture of one. White House Brent put a picture of one in chat. So,
I see.
I sent it to him for Mardi Gras, and I put explicit instructions on the sheet to make sure that Ethel does not bite into this haphazardly, because we didn't want Ethel to choke on little baby Jesus.
And Ethel is Rorschach's mom, of course.
Yes, and his elderly mother. But, yeah, they bake the little baby in there, and if you get the baby, if you get the slice that has the baby in it, it's supposed to bring you good luck. Because I found out that...
Who cooked this, Mengele? Like, I don't understand this.
It's supposed to represent the baby Jesus for whatever reason, and they bake Jesus in the bread, and he's good luck for the year, and if you get it, and then you have to buy the next cake.
Well, the dumbest question of this was, how old is Ethel? Anyone named Ethel is definitely over 80. It's not a little baby. But she probably has the eating habits of a small child, where you have to watch that her chokes on stuff.
Yeah, I don't want her choking on it. But, yeah, there's, like, all this... I had no idea that it was religious. And I'm confused as to how getting beads and by lifting your shirt all corresponds into this religious holiday celebration.
I didn't realize it was a religious holiday celebration. I just thought it was... I mean, obviously, it had to have started like that. And is now morphed into this, you know, complete opposite of a religious holiday.
I would like to know how many drunk people have eaten this cake and then choked on baby Jesus and died.
I'm sure it's been quite a few. It all boils down to tomorrow, which is Fat Tuesday. And that's the day where you're allowed to eat anything you want, because on Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and that's when Lent starts.
That's where... So Fat Tuesday... is correlated with the Catholicism with Ash Wednesday?
Yes, you got to get it all in. Yeah.
Yes.
So Fat Tuesday started out as a religious holiday?
Yeah, it all started... Actually, it starts in January. I don't know if you're familiar with Newport Richie, Florida. And it's all the Greeks. There's a huge Greek population that lives there. And every January 6th, they have this thing where all the Greek boys jump into the water after this cross. Did you ever hear about that?
No.
It's a big deal in Florida. They all jump into the water, and the whatever the Greek Pope is or whatever it is, Bishop is there.
His name is George Tzatziki sauce. Pope Tzatziki.
But that's when it starts at the Epiphany, and then it's called Carnival, and then Carnival is all up until Fat Tuesday, and then you eat everything on Fat Tuesday, and then you give it up for Lent.
Dude, all these different things you just said are people's last names that I know. I know a Tzatziki, I know a Carnival, I know all these people. What is
Bishop?
Yeah, this is
Fat
all
Tuesday should be followed by Doodoo Wednesday. Because that's all anybody's going to be doing.
Yeah, and Doctor Visit Thursday. Like, I don't... Like, how did this start? I didn't realize... I never knew that Fat Tuesday had anything to do with Ash Wednesday or Catholicism at all. I just thought it was all part of the, the Mardi Gras partying thing. And it was just Fat Tuesday. We're just all going to just eat burgers and drink big, huge drinks, right?
I had no idea either until last Thursday when I decided to do show prep.
And then you looked it all up.
It really is. You just gluttonously devour everything in sight for a week. And then the last day, it's just, you know, New Orleans, it's food. It's not just drinking, but there's so much food down there that you just can completely fill yourself up. And then you have to, then you cry and get antibiotics for all the sexual transmitted diseases and whatnot. Or food poisoning that you might have acquired during the last couple of days of Mardi Gras.
Holy crap. I heard
it's really fun.
I know. I never went. I want to go.
I was there once. It was, I think it was 96. Me and my friend Bill, we took a ride. We drove down from Jersey straight down to New Orleans.
Are you kidding me?
Yep. Drove down to New Orleans, then drove across the bottom to Daytona, then to Atlanta, and then home, right? And we did this in 4 days.
What? Daytona's far. Why didn't you just go to Clearwater.
Well, because what happened was we drove down to, we drove down to New Orleans. It was 18 hours, I think, straight down. We in Jersey, went west into Pennsylvania, took 81 and just followed 81 straight down right into New Orleans. And we were down there, and I think it was like, there wasn't anything special going on, but it was still pretty cool.
What did you commit a murder? That's like a John Wayne Gacy map.
That's what he was doing. He was following John Wayne Gacy's path.
I ended up in a crawl space. I ended up in a crawl space in Ohio, but
him and Ted Bundy. Creating Ted Bundy's famous drive.
No, what happened was I was actually going to check to go meet this girl in Atlanta that we started talking. This is before the internet. We started talking through work because I was like a salesperson at this company. And so we would communicate with each other and then we became like, you know, friends and shit. And she lived out in Atlanta. So we're like, why don't we go to Atlanta? And he was like, I'm not driving to Atlanta for you to meet a girl. So we decided to make a road trip out of it. So we drove straight down to New Orleans, hung out in New Orleans for like 2 days. It was miserable. I remember the day I was there, my friend Bill was back in the room because he didn't feel good. And I was just sitting there on my it turned midnight on my birthday. And I'm sitting in what is a White Castle down there. By myself eating White Castle burgers, and I remember lifting up a little burger and going, yeah, happy birthday, fucking stupid. And it was just miserable. So we were there for like 2 days. Then we drove straight across through the panhandle, the Florida panhandle, all the way to Daytona. And we stayed in Daytona for like a day and a half. And it just sucked because it was just all about clubs and you know, people driving on the beach. And we were like, yeah, we're shut-ins, and we don't really dig this.
We have a 75 Dodge Dart on the beach.
He had a fucking SUV, not an SUV, like a mom-mobile, like a Nissan Quest that popped open because we had to get something that could, you know, we brought our shit with. So it wasn't like we were picking up chicks with a soccer mom-mobile. So we then, from Daytona, drove up to Atlanta, and we figured we'll stay in Atlanta a couple of days and hang out. We get there at like 8 o'clock at night, meet up with the chick. We're hanging out. She brought us to a bar. We went to a couple of these strip places because Atlanta was like notorious.
And you asked her to go to your junior dinner.
And she blew me off for the 2 days. No, so what happened was we planned. This is like our fourth day, right? We're planning on staying in Atlanta for like maybe a day and a half, 2 days, and then we'll drive back. And we're there for like 5 hours. And it wasn't happening with me and her. We just weren't, you know, there was no chemistry.
Did you still
there.
Have the white suit on?
No, well, yeah, but it was all beat up. I looked like a homeless guy with the sleeves ripped off of the whites. No, I didn't. So I remember we were there for maybe 5 hours. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and my friend Bill fucking lost it. He was like, I want to go home now. And I'm like, you want to leave now? And he's like, yeah, we got to get the fuck out of here. So we drove straight through from Atlanta into Jersey. And we got into Jersey. And once it got into Jersey, it was like the third day of April because my birthday had passed. And it started snowing once we hit the turnpike in Jersey. And we called it road madness, where it got so weird. It was dark. And we started laughing and like where we had tears coming out of our eyes for no reason whatsoever. We had done so much driving in like 4 days. We got road madness where we were like seeing shit on the road.
I've had that before, but it wasn't driving. It was other stuff. When you said we had done so much, I was waiting for mushrooms or
no, it was like we did that. It was almost like being punch drunk. But it was almost like punch tripping. We were so fucked
delirious.
Up.
Yeah,
we were delirious, up. And we were like, we just want to get home. So we get into Jersey, and then it starts to snow, and we're like, can you believe it? We just driven halfway around the fucking country, and we fucking pay the toll to get into this shithole called Jersey, and it starts to snow. And I remember being on the turnpike,
fucking losing my mind. And Bill is just driving with his face up against the windshield because he just wanted to get home. He was like, I don't care.
Worst drive ever.
We're not stopping. He's like, we're stopping for gas, to go to the bathroom, to get something to eat, but we're not stopping on that whole, like, the whole, basically the three long trips from Jersey to New Orleans, from New Orleans to Daytona, Daytona to Atlanta, and then Atlanta to home. Each one of those trips, we went nonstop. And it was the worst. It was fucking April of 96. It was one of the worst weeks of my life. But it was with my best friend, and it was just like, it was a fucking tale. I mean, it's like, it was just madness, you know? And New Orleans was cool, you know? I mean, we got to watch all these fucking, I found the outdoor musicians and all the kids doing all these fucking really cool things with like, you know, cans and making music. I thought it was awesome, but it was a nightmare, man. It was just an absolute nightmare. We drove, I don't know, 1,800 miles. I have no idea how much we drove.
That's like a California trip. You're making a big circle around the east.
I drove to Florida twice, and I didn't drive back either time. The first time I drove from Pittsburgh to Florida, and I was like, I was so fucking miserable. I'm like, there is no freaking way I bought a goddamn plane ticket to come back because I refused to drive back.
Yeah.
Second time I drove down there is when I moved. And it's that drive because I drove from Florida to Seattle. From Florida.
What are you, Alexander the Great? Fucking stay in one country.
I went from
fucking you trying to conquer
to Seattle with two dogs and two cats by myself.
Oh my God.
And it was a great drive. There was so much to see. Oh, it was
a dog singing? What are you, fucking Muppets? No, it's not a great drive.
It was awesome. But meanwhile,
$99 of beer on the wall.
Something better comes along. Oh, beat it. Get out of here. Take a plane.
My entire trip was planned around La Quinta. They could have sponsored my trip because I knew that La Quinta is the only hotel
with the animals, yeah.
Takes animals.
Rough, row your boat, so, rough it down the sand.
So I sedated them every morning. I gave them sedatives in the morning.
You know, it's funny. Is she went to La Quinta in Oklahoma, and she's like, I thought you guys accepted animals. And she goes, no, we were talking about black people.
Oh.
And don't allow dogs. They're like, oh, I'm in Oklahoma. Let me get to Seattle where the real people live.
Yeah, exactly. You go through Louisiana, it's La Quinta Cunte. Here, boy. Nothing on that. All right.
I always knew when it was time to stop, when cats started howling. Sedative wore off. Okay, time to cool air. Where's the closest La Quinta?
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, just Benadryl your dogs up and hope for the best.
Exactly.
Wow.
But that drive was much better than from Florida, the whole East Coast. Yeah. It's the most boring drive ever. There's nothing to see. It's just straight crap.
Yeah, we've driven to Florida a few times and then done gigs around Florida and then drove back. We've driven, me and my buddy Johnny Watson, we drove to the upper peninsula of Michigan from Jersey and then went down the through Green Bay and then back through Chicago into Indianapolis to do more gigs and then drove back from India. It was just, it's crazy between the comedy and then that road trip that I took for a chick in Atlanta. We went to New Orleans. We were like, oh, we're going to make this a week long. This is going to be great. We're going to travel. We're going to visit half of the eastern part of the United States. And 3.5 days into it, we're like, we got to go to fuck home. And it was just an absolute nightmare. But at least I didn't have two dogs with me. That's crazy.
And two
dogs
cats.
And two cats.
And cats. The cats were worse than the dogs.
And a racist motel. I made that up. Like Kent is just fine.
Yeah. No blacks, Jews, gays, or dogs. So it's all right.
The worst part of the whole trip was Nebraska. Nebraska is the worst state in the entire country.
It's all there corn, right?
Nothing there. Absolutely nothing.
I've never been there.
It's the worst state in the entire United States.
I don't even. What is it? Lincoln, Nebraska? Is that like? Is that the
Omaha
capital?
Is another one.
Omaha, Nebraska. Is that the capital?
Yeah, it was, I don't know. Those are the two big cities, but I was nowhere near any of this stuff. I was out in no man's land, and it's the main highway, and you just drive and drive, and it's like, it gets so monotonous because it's the same scenery over and over and over and over, and your eyes start to cross after a while because it's just like you're seeing the same thing. You're on a straight road that's totally flat, no curves, no hills, nothing.
No, your eyes start to cross because you start to get whiffs of genetics.
No cell phone service at all. I had no ball. I'm like, how do these people live out here? You have no cell phone service. I didn't see one fucking store. I had to pull over to get gas, and it was like some crazy-ass fucking Deliverance gas station. I was scared to death, and I was like, no, never again.
Road
I would never
madness.
Stop Nebraska.
That's what we called it, road madness, where you just start to lose your mind because you're just driving, and it just there's no end in sight. You can't even know, you know what I mean? There's no seeing your destination, and you've just had it. You've driven so many miles in so short period of time.
You're passing exits with names that you've never heard of in your life, and you know you're nowhere close to where you need to be.
Yeah, that's bad. What other state did you go through when you went from Florida to, like, once you passed Nebraska?
Like all of them?
Utah. I went from Florida up through Atlanta and stopped in Tennessee, and then I went up through St. Louis because I got to see the arch. I drove right by the big white arch and all that, and I stayed up in St. Louis somewhere outside of St. Louis, and then I drove to Nebraska, all the way to Nebraska, stayed in Nebraska, and then I stayed in Utah, and then drove up from Utah.
Wow. Went through, what'd you go through, Wyoming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful out there, though, except for Nebraska, and Iowa stinks, too. Iowa's the
thing. And when I was out in Reno, I flew into Sacramento and then took a three-hour bus to Reno, and those mountains off of there, oh my God, they just, Joe Z in the chat, just he must have just done the math. He said, Joe, for the record, you drove 3,153 miles.
Could have drove to Seattle.
Holy shit, give or take. Thanks, pal. Thanks for the give or take. Oh my God.
It's a California trip.
Yeah, and the 3 hours from Sacramento to Reno, right on Route 80, the same 80 that, you know, travels right across, was just unbelievably beautiful. I'd never seen more beauty in the mountains than I'd seen there. It was just unbelievable. That Northwest, the mountains up there were just stunning. And that was worth the 3 hour bus trip with like four other people. It was just great. It was like this empty, comfortable bus, and I just got to sit there and look at the beautiful scenery.
What are you, fucking Morgan Freeman?
Oh, yeah.
How about renting a car, you fucking, where were you going, to say Wataneo? Fucking get a Corolla.
Yeah, and I finally walked up to my friend, but instead of walking down the beach from the entrance, I walked 4 or 5 miles just hovering and, you know, going against the, right next to the ocean. I love that scene. It's like, why would you be walking down the ocean, you know, walking next to the ocean when you meet up with Tim Robbins? I never got that part at the end. Like, why wouldn't you come from the road and walk down the beach to your friend, right?
Or like the deck. I'm sure there's a little walkway. Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, it's like you said, it's Oscar movie stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But, all right, Holly, now I gotta make sure I, because I have the download. I just haven't, I've been off this week, so I've been dilly-dallying. I've done less being off than I would if I was working at my normal regular job. So
had a vacay?
Yeah. I get like 4 or 5 vacation weeks a year or so.
It's great weather for a vacation.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think I went outside about 8 minutes. That was about
sled riding.
Yeah, I don't do any
really
of that
bad
stuff.
Here. It's bad up in the mountains. I don't live that far from the mountains, and it's crazy. They've been having avalanches like crazy, and the mountain passes are closed, but it never does anything here except rain.
Yeah, it's weird how you avoid the wintry weather up there in Seattle.
Pacific Rim, baby. All those mountains shield us from.
Is that what it is? That's that thing? Yeah. That's what it is?
Yeah, it's gorgeous up here, too. I mean, I love it. I have volcanoes and mountains all around me like a giant bowl. Like I live in a bowl of mountains.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty.
And it just holds everything inside. So even in August, it's like 64 degrees and it's raining and ugly and they all commit suicide.
Actually, but August and September are the nicest months. It doesn't rain. It didn't rain for almost 60 days last summer. And it's nice, you know, 70 degrees every day.
It's we have the polar vortex. You have the Kurt Cobain weather system.
Everybody here is on antidepressants. Antidepressants. Everybody needs weed for their depression.
It's a Kurt Cobain weather report. The bad weather shoots in from the West Coast.
Yeah, we have nothing a low pressure system. In. You have a high pressure shotgun.
shot in from the Pacific Ocean.
They're like, this weather system is shooting in from Vancouver.
They have a. I was talking about this last week. It was Kurt Cobain's birthday last week in the town that he grew up in, Aberdeen, which is closer to Portland than it is to Seattle. Has their first very own Kurt Cobain Day.
Yeah, oh, wow.
The weatherman is like, I have this weather report coming up at 5. It's going to blow your mind. Thank you. I was hoping for
the sign that going into the city of Aberdeen, it says, City of Aberdeen, come as you are.
Is that what it says?
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Well, he hated it there. I think he wanted to kill himself when he lived there.
Now, did they sell his house?
I don't know if it sold yet. I saw that it was up for sale. It's this rinky-dink little house that's, like, assessed for $67,000, and they're asking $500,000.
It's crazy, man.
And they're hoping that someone buys it and turns it into a museum.
That's a terrible idea.
Wow.
It didn't look like it was in the best part of town.
Well, so anyway. he didn't need much. He just basically was just he was an extravagant guy. He just needed like a cabin, you know.
He needed an empty shotgun shell. That's what he needed. Might have helped him.
What
out
he needed was to miss.
All right, guys. Shit. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. And your show is on More Like Radio on Saturdays from noon to 2. It's All About Me show with you and Rorschach, who I have
it's great
to...
great speaking to you, sweetheart.
I tried to get him to call in, but he was like, no, I just got up to pee. I'm going back to bed.
Oh, I got to talk to him this week. Maybe we'll have him call in next week.
He's the worst. He was on fire this week. We were talking about some guy that 70... It reminded me when you were talking about teachers. We talked about this 72-year-old guy up in Connecticut that was caught masturbating in the hallway. And of course he had some stories about masturbating in school. So if you want to listen to it, go to morelikeradio.org or just go to the downloads and download this week's It's All About Me.
Yeah, excellent. Sure. I like their show too. So, and then you got to do it one day with Kenny, but you have to convince Kenny that he can be up for noon on a Saturday.
If you could be up for noon on a Saturday, Kenny, you are welcome anytime. Just tell me and we'll make
room. Thank you. I'll make sure I'm there real soon.
Yeah. You have an open invitation.
I have an open schedule, so that can work out.
4 years in the chat says a big head of high pressure, here, boy, and Windsor's shooting out of the east. Yeah, it's.
See.
Yeah, the bad there jokes are just carrying to come. All right, Holly. Thanks for calling in.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Bye, Holly. That's Holly from the It's All About Me show with her and a Rorschach.
Very cool.
More Like Radio on Saturdays, noon to 2 on Eastern Standard Time.
Hey, listen, can we take a 2-minute break? I'm going to piss in my dining room get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll
do a quick 2-minute break. We didn't even take another freaking break.
No,
holy shit. All right.
And then we'll finish up.
Okay.
I'm about to die.
You got it. We'll take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Conti and Kenny show. More like... blah, blah, blah.
That's a terrible idea.
Missed a previous show? Want to catch up with the show? Have nothing else better going on with your life? Download podcasts of the Conti and Kenny show.
They are on iTunes, and for you Apple haters, they are now on Stitcher. You can also go to morelikeradio.com or theconteandkennyshow.com.
Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness.
If you want to get a copy of my DVD or CD, go to joeconti.com. It'll take you right to our website, and you can purchase it right online. Or go to CD Baby or iTunes and get it. It's called Happiness.
It's not bad.
It's fantastic,
dude.
It's
not bad.
You have no idea. It's an hour of mundane comedy. It's fantastic. Hey, who needs Ambien? I got Ambien on a disc.
I got Ambien Viagra in Life with Happiness. Happiness. Joe Conti City.
Oh, happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness.
$20 for a DVD and CD total, including shipping.
Thank you. Good night.
You can order a
CD. Enjoy your purchase.
You can order a CD by itself, a DVD by itself.
Let me get these purchasing orders out. just buy that fucking CD.
Shut up and stop bothering us. Just keep ordering. Hit refresh and do it again.
I got more than my share of happiness.
Yeah, it's good. Just fucking buy it.
You want death metal?
Yes.
Punk?
Yes.
Humorous chat?
Well,
obnoxious chin waggery?
No.
Frosty ales?
2 pints, please.
And a right load of old rubbish?
Rubbish?
Then listen to Metal Breakfast Radio, where we have it all.
Discussion is not necessary. You will obey your orders.
Find us on metalbreakfastradio.com.
I guess it's hard to keep it up when your brain's dribbling out your nose.
Darksentinel.dk.
Exterminate!
And RadioFreeSatan.com.
An elephant's pussy looks like the first fold of the American flag.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
All right, it wasn't too long, right? All right. I only got a few more, only got about 20 minutes left of the show. Wow, busy, busy show, man. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Holly, thanks for calling in from It's All About Me. And then our pal Jeremiah, thanks for calling in. Two West Coasters calling in. Jeremiah's one of those old school fans. He was listening to the show years ago when it was me and Kenny and Bob and James, and then we ended up getting him back on board.
I'm here, pal.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Had to take a little pee-pee.
All right, it's okay. Actually, you couldn't hear the echo too bad from when Jeremiah called in, so. But busy, busy show today, Ken.
Yeah, Jeremiah.
Jesus, and I started telling the story about my fucking junior dinner.
That's brilliant. Junior dinner is
holy shit,
best
yeah.
Thing I've heard in like a month.
I thought I was the only one.
Are you gonna fucking go to a cotillion next?
Oh shit! All right,
it started off. The chat room started off slow, but everybody came back after a while.
Oh, obviously, whatever last match from that WWE show was over, and then they all piled back in. You motherfuckers!
And they missed our Balls Mahoney fucking thing. All the wrestling fans, they didn't get to hear it. My Balls Mahoney lunch.
dude, I just got a text from Mike, Champagne Mike.
He just sent me that, too. I didn't even see it.
I guess I don't know. I guess right. He said, I'm driving to Texas. Want me to call in?
Well, I can have him call in. He's driving to Texas.
Yeah, all right. I'll do this Kenny Feld thing. I'm going to make this fucking huge.
Yes, send it. I got to post that. That's my new fucking, whatchamacallit, my headshot.
Oh, God, that's fantastic.
I've had the one with me sleeping in the princess blanket on my Facebook for a while.
Yeah.
I need a new pic, so
you
that's
sure
it.
You sure do. Let me see. Just texting him the number real quick. 2635. We can get a quick update.
This is a driving show.
Yeah, everybody's it's a road trip show. It's all about road trip today, man. No, don't worry about it, man. He didn't interrupt it. He was just Jeremiah. He was just calling in. He had a little issue on his end, but instead of making it a problem for everybody, he just, because I know what it's like too. I'll call like a friend of mine or something, and you try to talk to somebody, and you hear your voice echoing at the same time. It throws you all off. So you just, he basically pulled the phone away from his ear so he can.
No,
chat with
listen,
us.
We want to hear from you guys.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, your pals, call us
just,
anytime.
They're letting them fucking have it in the chat. So just remember, Jeremiah, whenever things are going bad and you need a little motivation and you need to feel better about yourself, Dio will always tell you, you got to be hungry for heaven. And if you're hungry for heaven,
I'll have the fish.
But you're a dancer.
When you bought this album, it came with a salad and then a small pasta dish.
and the insert didn't have the words of the album. It had all the different choices of what I can have. Would you like to have the fish or the meat or the chicken?
and the production company is called Never Ending Breadsticks Entertainment. and all the artists on the label are all like family.
Exactly, yes.
When you're there, you're like family.
And then you know how on the back it'll say like guitarist, it'll say the keyboard player. In the front it says, in the back it shows you who the maitre d' was, who the caterer was, the chef, and who your waiter is. It gives you all the names of them.
Yeah. The Bacon Brothers released an album on that. It was called I Like Steak and Chicken.
Oh my God.
Russell Crowe's band had one there too. It was called Bloomin' Onion. And the original band name was No Rules, Just Right.
Keanu Reeves, his band had a song. It was called No Range Chicken.
That was fucking a good one, dude.
All right, here we go. That's a good one, right? No range because he has no range. Here we go.
Yeah, no range for you. No range. Yes, love it.
Hello.
What's up, boys?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Champagne is on the road to Baton Rouge, boys.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah, we had to leave Mardi Gras and go to Houston.
Oh, really?
Why?
Was there?
They had the plane. I don't know what happened. The plane never made it.
Oh, okay. I thought there was another hurricane. The way they sent you to Houston.
No, okay. There's things called hurricanes down here, but you drink them.
Oh, okay. Dude, I saw the video of you being scolded by the fundamentalist Christian. I saw a little bit of that.
I told them to come back to the old tea. They did not like that idea of coming back home.
That's okay.
they don't like homosex either, so we didn't have a good time with them.
Well, you can't please everybody all the time, you know what I'm saying?
No, sir. They're all over the place, though. They kind of try to ruin the entire time you're there.
I also saw the difference between when you were sleeping and then when you woke up, or when you were fresh. You posted a picture of you just like passed out.
That was my near-death experience.
Yeah, all beat up, and then there's another picture. You're like, I'm fine.
I needed a few hours to get myself back in the game.
Yeah. So you were supposed to fly to Houston?
No, we were supposed to fly to like Baton Rouge, but that isn't done until we can't get out of here until Thursday if we listen to the airline.
Oh, and so I'd now you're driving to Wednesday Baton Rouge if that was to take the case. So you're driving to Baton Rouge to take a flight home before Thursday?
We're flying to Texas.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, okay. So
I just said we're driving to Texas. We're in a car right now. We rented a car. We're going to Texas.
Oh, so you can fly home. If you stayed in Baton Rouge, you'd be
in
trouble.
Yeah, we have to fly in tomorrow real late. We say we buy a couple of rifles and start shooting them on the way out of Texas airport. I guess you're allowed to do that, right? Sounds feasible.
So, all in all, how was the weekend? It was good?
It's pretty amazing, dude.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It doesn't end. It never ends. There's enough beads. They never, they're just thousands and thousands. I threw over 1,000 beads, and I still could have threw 10,000 more. The streets, I don't know if you saw the photo, their streets are filled with muck. They use bulldozers to clean the streets every morning.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And,
that's
then,
just
and the people
like
that are laying in the streets, they just get rolled up in the bulldozers, and they just throw them out. They just dump them off in wherever they bring them. Who knows what they do with these people? But it's off the hook here. They don't fool around, and they go all 2, 4, and 7 redlining it.
No shit. Could you imagine if someone like dared someone to like take a cup full of the muck and drink it? That'd be a great fucking YouTube video.
I woke up in it.
Wow.
Are my hands, you can't even get it off. We used to wear clothes out. My first night of clothes are gone. I threw them in the garbage.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not even joking. No, my pants, top, bottom, everything gone. Underwear, it's gone. I wore the same clothes for 3 days knowing that I shouldn't, because you know better.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's that bad. It's that bad, but yet it's that good, too. You know, don't get me wrong.
Oh no! Yeah, no. You're teetering on the edge of you're teetering on the edge of euphoria and prison down
very
there.
Very close to your prison and euphoria at the same level. Yeah, first night in bed by 10:15.
Really?
Wow.
I drank 5 drinks. I thought someone hit me with a roofie, and I was out. Out. Both of us stumbling, couldn't even speak.
Wow.
I thought I was in high school.
That's crazy.
I might have been in high school for those 45 minutes of power drinking.
You definitely could have been, my friend.
Yeah, no, it's a great time, though. I highly suggest that all the fans go to there. Maybe come see us in Texas. We'll be stuck there for the next 18 hours.
That's great,
yeah,
dude.
Well, Houston's a good town. Houston's a good town if you can get out. There's a couple of I know some guys down there. They could take you around right in Houston. It's only about... I would say about 15 minutes from the airport.
Oh yeah, we're going to be there around 1:30 in the morning. That's the only problem.
You got nothing.
Yeah, Monday night 1:30 in Houston. I don't know what's going on at that point. Yeah, maybe we'll go to a strip club and try to make it with a spear or something.
All right. Well,
to be honest, there's a it's called Stripper Row. It's this one little road. Just outside of Houston, and it's all
that
strip
is
clubs.
Going strong. Yeah. What time they close?
They probably close about 3-4 in the morning, somewhere around there.
3-4 in the morning. We might have to go to Stripper Row and report back on Monday on that one.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just outside the airport. Probably. It's right where I stay.
Outside the airport.
It's called the Galleria, which is the big mall of Houston. If you tell
the
cab driver,
GPS and it's him.
Yeah, tell the cab driver, say, hey, we want to go to the strip, strip.
No, we got a car. We rented a car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just go by Google the Galleria and then Stripper Lane.
All right, boys, you guys be safe, and we're gonna Google that right now and get that going.
All right, brother.
Might as well keep it burning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Keep it burning.
All right,
listen, and when you get back. Safe. When you get back after your divorce, we'll get together and we'll hang out.
Then my next trip will be Thailand. All
nice.
Right, boys. I'll
all
talk
right,
later.
Pal,
all right, Mike.
Safe,
later, right. Brother.
Bye.
Just
Look at that champagne called in. That's great, show, man. Crazy ass fucking show today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you believe it? Can you believe it already? Yeah. Let me blow through this real quick because we have some websites we have to plug.
www.chinkenner.com.
Easy. We'll get to them real quick. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, Conti and Kenner. Conti and Kenner. I looked at the word Twitter right afterwards, and I mixed them both. Like our Facebook page, Conti and Kenny. Our Twitter accounts. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter account, @CNKShow. Mine is @JoeConticomic. Kenny's is @KennyMichaels5. Brent's is @WhiteAssBrent. Don't forget to subscribe to both podcasts, the shorts and the regular show. And I'm going to work on a new shorts this week. I want to get it done. Get the TuneIn app so you can listen to the show live on your TuneIn app. Get my DVD. Go to JoeConti.com. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Jeremiah, Champagne Mike, Holly from the It's All About Me show. A couple of shows that we're friends with real quick. Metal Breakfast Radio, great podcast. Dave Ingram and Donovan. Unlearned.tv every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock with Rich and Tony. The I Don't Know Joe show.
We got to do that show soon.
Yep. And I Don't Know Joe show, which is Joe Fernandez, and Podcheese. All right, here we go. I got a couple of websites from the chat. All right, Kenny?
Yeah.
Here's a couple of websites sponsoring the show. Champagne Mike Can't Work a Mic.com. On the Phone Mike Sounds Like Ron Jeremy.com. Hungry for a Date.com.
I'll Have the Fish.org.
4 years with an Echoing Phone.com. Josie Conti and Kenner, which is a radio show in which Joe talks about his love of toys for 3 hours.
Fucking good one. That was fast.
Here we go. First Call Was a Disaster.com by Jeremiah himself. No Range Chicken.com.
Yes, good one.
Babies Baked in Cakes.com. Fucking fantastic.
Oh, man, that fucking chat room was blown. Yeah,
anybody in the other chat? Did they have anything?
Nothing.
They're bums.
They're switching over from here to over there, so they'll put them in there.
Oh, okay. Bums. They're bums, I tell you. Let's see. Your homework is my penis.com. That's fucking awesome. And here is the site of the day. You ready? KennyFeldComedy.com. That's
yes,
the website.
Yes,
that is
yes,
it.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I don't know if anybody's going to top that. Kenny Feld. We might have to call this show Kenny Feld.
We got to post that all over the place, that picture. That's got to be posted all over the place. Weston Echo's brilliant.
Oh, here we go. Joe Z. Oh, should I miss WWETonight.com?
There you go.
Very, very good.
Triple X Ventriloquist, the outpatient Balls Mahoney Lunch.com.
Very, very nice. all right, man.
We could shorten that with just said Balls Mahoney Lunch.
Balls Mahoney. All right. You guys fucking killed it tonight in the chat, man. You guys rule. Colorado Dickhead, Jeremiah, Joe, Z, and of course our producer, White Ass Brent.
We had TNT Will in the chat room. Of course, Western Echo.
Echo, of course, Holly. Very cool. Good people, man. Love you guys. Thank you so much, everybody, for not watching.
Scrambler was in there, too. Scrambler.
Oh, Scrambler was there.
Yes.
Oh, all right. All right. Let's get the fuck out of here, all right? I got to go warm up my car. It's freezing again here in Jersey, so... All right, Kenny. Great show, everybody.
Yeah, I got to go warm up my stuffed peppers my sister made.
Very nice.
I've been smelling it delicious. But thank you for, I was a little under the weather, but I had a couple of captains and I feel good.
All right. And Brent has a good point. Don't worry about it, Jeremiah. We know you're just fucking kidding. That's how we keep people listening to the end. Save it for the last 4 minutes. The last 4 minutes are like killing on this show lately.
It's all about them.
We're bringing back the fucking the websites, man. All right.
Let's get out of here, man.
All right, Pally. Give me a buzz once you shut down.
All right. I'll see you guys later. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you guys next week. Out. Bye.
Out. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Why don't you shut the mics off?
Well, so long, loser. I'll see you next week.